We will resume the formal hearing. Counselor, you on redirect, please.
Okay, Officer Bennis, you were just talking about Mr. Hionis applying for his licenses on May 1st, 2008, or renewing those licenses, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you aware of any applications for those six licenses that were submitted between January 10th, 2008 and May 1st, 2008?
No, I'm not aware of any applications being accepted between those two times.
So there's no applications in your file for that time frame?
No, there's not.
Okay. When you were testifying before, there was discussion, or actually you testified that you told Mr. Hionis at that meeting in his office sometime around the 9th or the next Monday of July that he could not apply for those licenses now because there was
an application
on the 7th.
Yes.
Counsel asked you a question about whether Mr. Hionis ever reapplied, and you said no, correct?
That's
if he submitted another application.
Yes.
You said no.
That's correct.
Only the officers take those applications, correct?
I'm not sure.
Those are submitted directly to officers?
They could submit it to me, or they could submit it through the, I believe, through anybody. But at that time, I was the designated district officer as of July 9th.
But you did advise him that he was not allowed to apply for it.
I advised him there was a previous application that had precedence over his.
Okay, thank you.
Over any application.
You still have your file with you?
Yes.
You were going through the identifications on those licenses you had. I don't know what you were calling it.
It's 2008 renewal.
And was that ever admitted into evidence? I'm not positive. It was. It wasn't. Okay. Okay, in reference to that, you said that of the four licenses that were renewed in the system, you drew out where those licenses were located on the map.
So I drew out where three of them that I knew were located, and the other one I can't place.
And what's the description on the one that you said you could not place?
Running in a northerly direction east of Glen Haven Inlet.
Okay. Now I've got a photograph here. I'm going to ask you if you can recognize what that's depicting.
That is the four pound nets off of the lower Chesapeake Bay near Cape Henry.
And the point of view is from the water looking towards the shore?
It looks like it's taken from an aerial position.
Okay. I'd like to move to introduce that as Exhibit Hionis Exhibit B.
Okay.
Pass it up.
Thank you.
You said Exhibit B?
Yes, but I had a couple of different exhibits that did fall in line with the other numbers. So it's A.
Okay.
So I think we're on track.
You'll have to determine that later if it's so inclined. I'm labeling them as I get them.
For the purpose of the record, what I've claimed to be Exhibit B would be, what is that, an 8x11 photograph of four-pound nets that are located in the bay?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Can you look at the one to the far left? I'm going to put this on the elbow so that the commission can see it as well. Okay, put your finger on the one we're talking about, just the far left there. Okay. Could you read that description again? The one you said you couldn't place?
The one I said I couldn't place?
Yeah, the one you said certainly couldn't place.
Running in a northerly direction, east of Glen Haven.
Running in a northerly direction. Is that pound net running in a northerly direction?
Yes, it is.
Is that pound net east of Glen Haven Inlet?
They all are, yes, sir.
Okay, so that could be that pound net.
No, because that would infringe on the one that was listed as being on the line with Fort Story and State Park. So that couldn't infringe on that. It wouldn't be able to infringe on that license.
But this pound net is not in the location of the one that you're referring to, that you changed the location of, correct?
That is in that location, yes, sir. That's in the general location of the state line and Fort Story. You cannot put any other net north of that area, or, excuse me, east of that area.
That same document you had with the license descriptions on it. The license that you're identifying now is number 6. Could you turn to that one? Okay. Could you read the identifying number on that license?
OL00805007. And again, these are listed as running
number two through seven
rather than 1 through 6. But there are 6 licenses described here.
So even the licenses there don't correlate with the numbers that you've set.
On this one, no, it doesn't. That it's 1 through 6, and that's what I've been calling them, is 1 through 6, because license number 1, as I mentioned before, that was previously owned by Mr. Etheridge, was voided long before these licenses were transferred to Mr. Hionis. There were 7 of them out there. There are currently 6 licenses.
So at the end of all this, just to wrap it up, you can still admit that there's a significant amount of confusion between
and
the paper records.
And the paper records.
Thank you.
And from the records over, as they've come forth over the years, as far as the numbering of them, but the descriptions have remained consistent from 2005 on through 2008. If the only thing that has changed is whether it's designated by a number, and these are from year to year as the licenses get new numbers and come forward through the years. It could be 2 through 7, it could be 1 through 6, it could be A through F. And that's how they've gone over the years, and I can't tell you why.
But just to clarify, the one thing that has not been in confusion at all is that there have been 4 nets in the same general location along that shoreline.
4 nets in the same location along that shoreline.
For over 30 years.
From what I can tell,
for how long?
It may go back years and years before that.
Okay.
I don't know. It's as long as I can remember they've been there, and as long as anybody that I've talked to can remember they've been there.
Okay. No further questions.
Any questions of the commission for Officer Bennis? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I just have one for clarification, if I can ask you why you still have your file up there. With respect to the history of those licenses that were surrendered, in other words, purchased and then turned back in order to comply with the ASMFC weak fish exemption. Can you tell us which licenses were purchased and then surrendered to comply with that provision over the period?
From what I can determine from looking at the records over the past years, in 2005, licenses 3 and 4 were surrendered. Starting in 2006, 5 and 6 were surrendered, and that has carried forward through the years until this issue came up here in 2008. So 2006 and 2007, license number 5 and 6 were surrendered.
Thank you.
Further questions?
One,
Mr. Schick.
But if he was fishing 5 and 6 in 2006.
He was fishing in
2006 and 2007.
2007, he was fishing license 6.
License 6, okay.
Right. License 5, as I've mentioned before, I can't tell you where that's located, and I don't believe that there's a net currently on that location that has come up through the years.
Mr. Tankard.
You said in testimony to Mr. Jenkins that stands can move 50 to 100 yards. Is that correct?
That is my impression from talking to watermen out on the that when a stand is damaged, that they would rebuild next to the stand because of the bottom having been disturbed.
Just from
my expertise.
The bottom line is the stand does not move. The actual location of the stand during the rebuilding process can move. We'll make sure we're clear on that.
They rebuild it to the side of where it was. It could go
one direction or the other. They're trying to, from what I understand, and it's not my field of expertise, I don't know personally, but from what I've been told, once that bottom's disturbed by the poles in there, if they pull those poles up, try to drive another pole, those poles may not stay in that area. They may have problems with staying on the bottom.
I'm easily confused. So they may just make so in other words, stand 6 or net 4.
Yes, sir.
Could have moved 100 yards.
It could have, and apparently has, from based on where these old abandoned poles, 5 abandoned poles are located, is approximately 90 to 100 yards from where the current fish stand is located now on that site. But it's close enough within that area to still be, in my mind, on that licensed site.
Okay.
It's not infringing on any other site in there. And although it may have migrated back and forth, and the shoreline migrates, I think it's close enough to it to be on that license.
Other questions? Thank you, Officer Bennis.
Thank you, sir.
Will Officer Bennis be needed further?
I hate to do it.
Okay. Officer Bennis, you need to remain here. Don't discuss your testimony with anyone. Who's next, Mr. Jenkins?
Officer Clifton.
Sergeant Clifton, please. Officer Solins. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. State your name for the record, please.
Charles E. Clifton, Jr.
The position?
First Sergeant, PMRC, Southern Air.
Thank you.
Officer Clifton, my name is Terry Jenkins. I represent Mr. Hionis in this matter, and I appreciate you coming out today. Have you ever received any special training in your role as a VMRC officer in regards to the taking of applications for pound nets?
Just from observation of other district officers,
okay.
Seeing how they do it.
So kind of an on-the-job training?
Pretty much.
In that respect, how is it normally done? Did the applications have to come to the officers?
You're talking about applications for a pound net?
Correct.
If there was an opening, they would come to me and make application for it, and we would fill out an application right on the spot.
In the past, BMRC officers used to sell these licenses, correct?
Correct.
And so you have experience doing that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And at some point, there was a change in those rules? Is that correct?
2007.
Okay. And why was that change made? Or are you aware of that?
They went to the computer system.
Was there a problem with the old system?
I wouldn't know that.
Counselor? If I can, I can elaborate on that for you to clarify.
Sure.
During that period of time, Marine police officers, when I was chief of law enforcement, part of this position, were actually accepting money. Money was transacted. They had to maintain a bank account. I believed it was in the best interest of good law enforcement practices that law enforcement officers did not handle money. So we worked diligently to try to develop a computer system, whereas the officer was involved with the investigation, the validation of stands, locations, and things like that. But the actual transactions were transferred to license agents. So that's the reason that the system changed during the period. There was no problem per se. I just felt it in the best interest of good law enforcement practice to get money handling out of uniformed officers' hands.
Okay. In that transition, has there been any confusion amongst the officers?
No, not really.
Could you explain your understanding of the weak fish close season? What that means for pound nets?
In this case, it would be like 6 locations, and to be able to fish the weak fish regulation, you would surrender 2. You would actually buy the 6 because that would mean that those, that was your stand, those two stands. They would surrender the two tags to me, and they would have four tags to place on the nets.
So when you would do this transaction with the fishermen, and let me just run through the scenario. Say Mr. Giannis came to you and said, I need to renew my six licenses. Or you came to them, I think, is the way you normally
are. Well, I used to.
Okay. You would say, okay, you want to renew all your licenses. How many tags would you give him?
He would have, in the past, he would have had six tags. But he would surrender two of them back to me. I would hold the tags.
So he doesn't actually get the other two.
No.
You hold them.
Right.
Okay. So he's paying for six.
He pays for six, and he gets four tags.
So, I mean, normally in the transaction, though, he would expect to get four tags, correct?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to go back to exhibit number two, which was already admitted. Yes, Hyonis 2. Could you take a look at these six documents and tell me if you recognize those?
Okay, this was 2005. In 2005, that's when he purchased the license from Mr. Etheridge.
Okay, and you were the officer that handled that transaction, correct?
Myself and Captain Oliver went down and explained to him about the gray trout regulation, and I sold him six tags, and I kept two.
Okay. At that time, did you, and you said there was another officer involved?
Captain Oliver.
Did you all assign numbers to these licenses as an identifier? Numbers 1 through 6, for example.
When we did this, we would normally get in the mail, or from the main office, we would get a computerized copy. So it was a three-page renewal application. Renewal of a fixed fishing license.
Okay.
I would get a copy. He would get a copy, and then the copy went to the main office. And I would make a notation on there which two tags were relinquished. Whichever
okay.
two he picked. Whichever ones he took, wanted to give up.
Okay. Then would you write out a license that they would have on the boat?
Yes.
Because previous to this computer system, officers actually wrote out a license.
Wrote a license and collected the money for the license.
Okay. Let's look at, it's going to be tab number 5. Could you look at these documents?
This is one I made when we went into his restaurant and explained to him everything. Wrote out the license.
You speak of Officer Sergeant Clifton.
This one here was when the day he bought the license.
The original
license. When he first purchased the license from Mr. Etheridge.
Okay. I'm just going to stick this one up here so you can see it.
And this one here was the following year when I went to his place of business and. He purchased six licenses then, and I kept two of them.
Okay.
And then I think Officer Bennis checked his nets one day and didn't have tags on them. And the reason was what I was told was he couldn't find them, he lost them. So I went back down there, reissued four replacement tags at $1 a piece.
Okay.
That's this one here.
So this document I'm putting up here for everyone to see, this is the... That's the 2006 license.
Yeah, right at the
top.
Okay. 2006.
And then this next one that we're about to stick up there, this is when you did the replacement tags, correct?
That the one I just gave
you. The one that's on the screen right now.
That's it.
Okay, yeah. That's the replacement
I believe his wife is the one that I sold the tag.
Okay. So his wife in the business office is who would actually cut the check for the tags?
Well,
objection, not the right witness.
Unless he's accepting the money.
That he saw his wife write the check, then he's not the person who testifies to it.
Did you see his... Did you receive payment from his wife?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you. I'd move to introduce these three documents as Fiona's Exhibit 5.
Any objection?
No.
I do have one question for clarification while we're proceeding, not to interrupt your track.
Sure.
Sergeant Clifton, you said two different things, I believe, unless I misunderstood. And I want to make sure that's clear, whatever the answer is.
Okay.
When you sold the six licenses...
Right.
Did you provide him, did you tangibly hand him six tags and he provide you two back, or did you provide him four tags after he identified which four tags that he wanted?
I asked him which two he wanted to surrender, and he gave me two tags back.
So you gave him six, and he gave you two?
Right. Whichever two he wanted to surrender is what I got.
Thank you. Which exhibit number is this, Counselor?
5.
Thank you.
I'm going to need them back.
Okay.
Actually, we may have them in here. Yeah, these are the same documents. Now, I had you look at the other documents that were the original applications in 2005 that Mr. Ioannis had when he got the license originally.
Right. We went down there and he filled them out right here.
Can you look at these actual licenses that the fishermen get to carry on the boat and correlate between these tag numbers on these licenses and the 2005 licenses, which ones are which?
You mean as far as which ones he surrendered?
In other words, can you look at one of the 2005 applications and look at the description on that, where the pound nest is located, and match it to these line items here?
No, that's... You mean the four he kept? The four tags,
right.
That where they go, that would be up to him which tag he put on which net.
No, but I'm saying on his license, uh-huh. Would he be able to look at this license and tell which ones he's actually forfeited?
Well, yes, because they're numbered. They have tag numbers, 184 through 189. He forfeited this time 186 and 187.
And how does that correlate to the licenses that he purchased in 2005? Can you connect the two?
Well, this is a 2005 license right here, right there.
Okay. So I'm saying, can you look at tag 186 and tell me which one of those licenses that goes to?
This is the license right here.
Okay. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm confusing it. Which application in 2005, tag number 186?
It's noted on the application itself. If you have a copy of that 2005 application, it should be a star by it.
These are the 2005 applications.
Okay, this one right here. That one was surrendered, and this one was surrendered.
But there's no connection between the tag number and the license?
No, just location.
And so you can't tell which of the other four tag numbers go to the other licenses?
No. That, like I said, that'd be up to him what tag he puts where. On his four tags that he has in his possession, he puts them on the stand he wants to put them on.
Who assigns the tag numbers to the license applications? Does the license identification information on it?
There's no place on this for the license number, but it is on this one, on the license itself. This is an application for a fixed fishing device. This is the actual license, and that does have place for the tag numbers.
Okay, what I'm trying to figure out is, okay, say moving to 2006.
All right.
This document here, a license for 2006. Mm-hmm. And let me put it up on the screen so that way everybody can see what we're talking about. Right. This license for 2006.
Right.
Can you tell me... Where's 2005? You got this up here.
Yes.
Okay. In 2005, I'm sorry, I'm moving back to 2005. The tag numbers are what?
184 through 189.
Okay.
And he forfeited 186 and 187.
Okay. And so then in 2006,
okay,
what are the tag numbers?
151 through 156. He forfeited 155 and 156.
And so the question I have is there somewhere in the system where there's a piece of paper that says tag number 185 is license number whatever,
yeah,
or license at this description?
Now, in 2000, before 2007, yes, there was. And I don't know if you have a copy of that in there or not. It was the three-page computer printout that actually had that license number on it right here, and it had the tag number by location.
When you all bring the tags, do you sit down with the fishermen back when you did these in person? Did you bring that and you went through it and you figured out which tag was actually being forfeited? Or was it just a matter of I hand you four, you hand me two back, and everything
that's
happy?
It.
So it really didn't matter which two you got back because
no,
everybody knew, correct?
It didn't matter which two you gave me back. It was up to them, you know, which tags they wanted to give me.
Because as far as the policing goes, you were just concerned that he was only fishing four nets.
Four nets.
So ultimately, all that matters is he had six licenses to that region, and he only fished four nets, correct?
Right.
Now, when you fill out these documents, I assume, not a lot of times I make stupid assumptions, but that looks like a military man wrote that. Is that your handwriting for the descriptions?
Yes.
Okay. Is that your writing for the forfeit identifications? That's the, you can look at the actual document if it helps.
Forfeit, yeah.
So you're actually the one that fills those out and says which one's forfeited and surrendered.
Well, I fill this out. He tells me which ones he wants to relinquish, and that's
okay,
where I put the star and put forfeit, knowing that tag 186 and 187 are forfeited.
Okay. But the main thing is you're just identifying which two tags were handed back to you.
Yes.
But there was really no concern at the time. You didn't sit down and lay out these six tags and determine which tag went with which license specifically.
No, not at the time. Well, like I said, 2005 and 6, we had the printouts. And on there it did list this license number and this tag number by location.
Okay. But that wouldn't have been given to Mr. Hionis at the time when he made this exchange?
He got a copy of it at the time.
And did you go through it
He got this. He got the original of this. And he got a copy of this. And a copy of the...
That's in 2005, right?
Yeah, but okay.
it's
an application for fixed fishing device.
Okay.
Now, after he bought this the first year, he didn't get this anymore.
Okay.
He only got the three-page printout, and then he got this.
Okay. So would you agree that it's kind of confusing to try to figure out which one connects to which at the time of the exchange? When renewal is done?
You mean to put...
Which plaques go to which actual description of license?
Which that plaque goes to which stand? That would be up to him which stand he put it on. I give him four tags, and he can put them on whatever stand he chooses to fish.
Okay, so that's... The officers, essentially, all you cared was that he had tags on the stands he was fishing?
As long as he had tags on those stands.
And that's how this has been policed, from your experience?
Right. If it doesn't have a tag on it, he can't fish it.
Okay.
That's why when he lost the four tags, he was told if you get him on there, he would be summoned.
Okay. And that's why he only had to get four renewal tags.
Because I had the other two. He
okay.
didn't lose those because I had them.
At the two different times, and I think there were only two times when you did the license transaction with Mr. Hionis or his wife.
Yeah, 2005 right. and 2006.
In both of those transactions, was there any confusion as to which nets were being fished?
Well, I don't know what tags he put on which stands.
Right. But was there any concern on your end at the time as to which tags were actually surrendered?
Not No, because that it was up, like I said, it was up to him to surrender what tags he wanted.
Okay.
That wasn't my choice. That was his choice.
Moving forward to sometime around July 9th, 2008. I guess we'll go back to May 1st, 2008. You placed a call to Mr. Hiones, is that correct, regarding his license renewals? Or had a conversation with him at some point?
I went down there.
Oh, you went down there, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had a conversation with him about it?
I asked him. I told him. I said, "You haven't bought your pound net license. You're going to lose those sites."
Okay.
And that's because, I found out that he had not renewed them, and that's why I went down there.
And how did you find out? Is it like a computer printout that you get?
No. When Mr. Sanford walked into the operations building and said he wanted to make application for two fixed fishing devices that had not been purchased.
Now, after that conversation with Mr. Hiones, did you have conversations with anyone at Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle later that day?
No.
At any time after that?
Well, I'm in there all the time. Like if I have an on-call weekend, I go by there.
Okay. Had you ever talked to them about whether Mr. Hiones had come in and renewed those six licenses?
Yeah, I asked him. I said, did he come in to buy them? And he said, well, he come in and bought four, and that was it.
And there was no discussion about whether he wanted the other two?
No.
Nobody elaborated on that?
Not to my recollection.
Did you ever have any understanding of where the two forfeited locations that Mr. Hiones had were supposed to be?
No, because, like I said, he puts the tags on whatever stands he wants to put them on and fishes them.
And this document, which is Exhibit A, now I remember where that Exhibit A came from, Commissioner. Are you familiar with this?
Before you come, I can come and look at it.
Okay. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Now, this right here is a map. This is a book that I made up for myself a while back when I first took over. And all it was a reference book. I've told parties involved that this is not accurate. It's just a reference point for me. And the area that a pounded area, this is what those mean right there.
Just a general idea of
just
what
a general idea for me. This isn't something that the commission gave me to do.
Right.
This is something I did on my own.
Is it your general understanding that essentially that's kind of how this has been dealt with over the years, is that it's been a general idea of where these nets are supposed to be out there?
Well, you go by there and you see the pound net locations, and you see them out there fishing all the time. We go by, check the poles, make sure they got their license on it, hang around for a while, watch them, and then we go on about our patrol.
Okay. If I could just put this up here so that they can see the location we're talking about. And so, there's really nothing on this that's linked to anything other than you did this for your own. That way you just have an idea of where everything was supposed to be.
Just a general idea.
Okay.
Yeah. This is not something that the commission issued to me. It's something I did on my own.
Okay. Because there's nothing clear about any of these locations as far as absolute requirement that those nets had to be located.
They had to be licensed.
They just had to be licensed.
Right.
You just need to make sure that someone had a plaque on them, essentially.
As long as they had a plaque on them.
When after July 7th, did you have any conversation with Mr. Hiones? Any telephone conversation?
No, I don't think I did.
Okay.
No, sir. I think the only time I saw him was when I went down there and talked to him.
When you went down, that was May 1st?
Okay.
maybe I've got it in yours. Exhibit number 3. These first two documents. These were, well, can you look at them and see if you recognize them?
Yes, this is the application that the applications for fixed fishing device that we filled out when he came in here and told me that he wanted to make application for the two nets that hadn't been bought.
Okay, and so your understanding was his intention was to purchase two nets that he thought were vacant in the system.
Right. Well, according to the main office, they were.
Okay. Yeah. And
in fact, I called the main office to make sure that.
From your experience in training, okay, you want to look at that? I thought you had an objector.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay. From your experience in training, would you have changed locations on licenses that were applied for, pursuant to a vacant license?
No. Mm-mm.
Is that something that you're trained to do?
To change locations?
Right.
If he come in there and told me the locations of the nets that he wanted to make the application for, and he'd tell me where they were at, and that's what I write down for location.
Okay. You wouldn't go out on one of the VMRC boats and set a new location for that application, would you?
No.
Because that wouldn't be proper for an officer, would it?
No, it wouldn't.
You certainly wouldn't sign a date at the bottom that wasn't the date that you signed it, would you?
No. It was July 7th. That's what's on here.
Because you're certain as an officer of law, that was the date that you received that, correct?
Yeah. That's the day he come into operations at 1,500 hours. These are time and date sensitive.
That's all the questions I have for this witness.
Mr. Weisberg?
Thank you.
Sir, you testified that doesn't matter to you where they put the license plate, right?
What stand they put them on.
Right. But it does matter to you whether or not the sites they're fishing are licensed, doesn't it?
Exactly. Got to have a tag on the pole.
The change of the guard, so to speak, when you were going over to the computer system, and when you were going, more importantly, over from you going around and letting these guys know they need to renew their license, you sent out a letter, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Did somebody, are you aware of a letter that went out?
I've heard that there was a letter that went out when they first went to the computerized system, and that's the only time the letter was sent out to anybody.
Okay.
Was the first year.
And then you testified that in May you went to notify Mr. Hyonis that he still hadn't renewed his licenses, right?
I notified him that he was going to lose those locations because he had not renewed them.
And did you explain to him that you don't renew your license by January 10th, it's up for grabs?
He was told that.
Okay. You familiar with the license that's up around Fort Story that's been identified? Or are you familiar with the license that's right up down there on Fort Story?
I know that the locations are out there.
Okay, you know the pound head that's been.
Yeah. Some of the locations that are there, they're there, but there's no poles there.
Okay. Yeah. If I may retrieve our exhibit with the map.
Exhibit.
Exhibit stands for number 1. You recognize what I'm showing you, officer?
Just from where Officer Bennett showed them to me. I haven't seen them up to that point.
Okay, but do you recognize the landscape? You know where this is?
I know it's Lynn Haven area.
Okay.
Just east of Cape Henry.
East of Cape Henry?
West of Cape Henry. Okay. Between Cape Henry and the Lynn Haven Fishing Pier.
Okay. Would you agree that this is... Not looking at the markings on there, or the thumbtacks, or any of the initials, but just looking at the map itself, would you agree it's a true and accurate depiction of the area in which these licenses have been issued?
That's from Rudy Inlet. I mean, not Rudy Inlet, but from Lynn Haven Inlet to Cape Henry.
So you would agree that that's what's being depicted there?
It's pretty much in this area.
Okay. If I may retrieve. I'm sorry. Never mind. Strike that. Have you over the years gained familiarity with the descriptions for each of these respective licenses?
For each location, mm-hmm. Pound Net?
Yes.
Only by the descriptions that was on the license.
Okay. Now, you could... I'm showing you what's already been entered as Ionis number 2. Okay. You recognize what this document is? I'm sorry.
2005. Okay, this is... Okay, that's one of them, and there should be five more.
Okay, but that's, you recognize what this is?
That's an application for fixed fishing device. That's when we went down to his restaurant, sat down with him, Captain Oliver, myself, and issued it.
Are you able, from looking at the description on his application, to tell approximately where that would be on this map?
18-yard. On that map?
Yes.
No.
Okay, well, why not?
Because it's... There are, on some of them, they list a street name, okay? And you'd have to get the street name, and then you have to be in a boat to go out there and actually find the location.
This description states it's 1,800 yards east of Stand 5 on line with State Park and Fort Story. Is that not right?
Yes.
425 yards offshore, right?
Offshore.
Okay. Are you saying you're unable to tell what is online with State Park and Fort Story? You don't know where that is?
I'd have to be out there to look at it.
Okay, but if you're out there, you can tell where that is, right?
Well, there and have an officer on shore.
Okay. If you're on the shore, you can tell where that is.
Not necessarily.
Why not?
No. Well, I mean, I'd have to be on the water to do that.
And somebody on the shore?
Yeah.
Okay.
They could tell me.
But if you
line me up with
okay. So you're saying you got two people, one of you guys on the shore, one of you's on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to figure out where 425 feet is off the shore?
But using radar.
Okay. And you would have no doubt about where that is, would you?
It'd be close.
Be close?
Real close.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But you're not comfortable. You don't know this map well enough to know approximately where that would be.
Not exactly. No. I'd have to.
Okay. Well, I want you to speculate. Are you familiar with which licenses he renewed in
2007? Go on the computer and bring it up on the computer.
You did do that?
2007, like I said, that's when they went to the computerized system.
I'm sorry. 2008, the most recent renewal. Are you familiar with which ones he relicensed?
I'd have to bring it up on the computer.
Okay, so if you saw a computer printout of it, you would know.
Yeah, well, a computer printout states license forfeited.
License forfeited.
Well, in 2008, it's only got four licenses listed there. 2007 had two licenses forfeited. 2008 only just four licenses because he didn't renew it.
Okay.
He didn't renew the other two stands.
And do you know which two stands he didn't renew?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Okay.
Do you know, officer or sergeant, when you did this transaction? Okay, where he'd buy six licenses from you, and he'd forfeit two, okay? Do you know whether you'd give him a license as well to go with the tag?
He would, like right here, that's the license.
Okay.
He surrendered two.
Did he get a hard copy of a license like they get now?
The metal tag?
No, not the license plate. Let me show you. You know the license that they get now, are you familiar with that? Let me show you.
Talking about the one they get from the agent?
Let me show you. You see where this is?
Yeah, this comes from the agent here. I don't have anything to do with this.
Okay, so they don't give you back that. Do they, when they forfeit their license, do they keep that?
If he buys four licenses, if he gets six locations,
mm-hmm.
and they sell him four licenses, and they keep two, mm-hmm. keep two tags.
Do they keep two of these?
No, that's for the whole... Okay, I'm not familiar with... I know that this right here is printed up like he gets his license at Long Bay Point Marina. Okay. They do this there. Okay. I don't see this.
Okay. All right. Then I don't need to ask you about it.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to trick you.
I don't even see that.
So all that you gave him, other than the paperwork you've already described, is you gave him six tags, and he gives you back to?
Up till 2007.
Up till 2007.
Yeah. Okay. 2007, the only thing I would do is go online and approve him to be able to go to an agent and purchase his license.
Okay. Now, you testified, and just want to make sure this is clear, that in May when you went out there to talk to them, that you testified you went out there because Mr. Sanford came in looking for some licenses to buy. Is that right?
Yeah, I couldn't understand why he would not buy the other two licenses, because he's always done it in the past.
You couldn't understand why Mr. Hyonis wouldn't buy the other two.
Right. I was confused at that point because he's always bought six licenses and surrendered two. And
in May, I'm just trying to get the timeline straight. In May, you went out there. May 1st, did you go out there to go speak with Mr. Hyonis?
I'm not clear on the date, but I did go out there and talk to him and told him, you know, and he told me, well, it was a misunderstanding. I said, well, you know, I can't help that because the man's come in and applied for the license, and I had to give.
And what was his response?
He just said it's a misunderstanding and he was going to check on it.
Did you ask him why didn't you buy six licenses since you've always bought six licenses?
No, I didn't ask him that. I just told him, you know.
Okay.
You needed to buy the six.
Well, I didn't hear that.
You needed to buy the six to keep the four that you had.
I don't have any further questions. Thank you.
Redirect.
Yes, sir. Officer Clifton, we were talking about your inability to place those licenses on that map looking at. Is that correct?
Well, it'd be for me to do it, standing here, would be difficult. Okay. Yeah.
And it sounds like you said to actually get a location, figure out, okay, are we where we say we are, it takes two officers?
Well, either that or GPS.
Okay. But GPS is even wrong sometimes, isn't it?
Sometimes. It could be.
So I think it's safe to say this is generally, the placement on these things is generally a non-exact science for the officers?
Yeah, that's the way they've done it before I even came on. And they give street locations and landmark like that.
I think that's all I have.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Tankard and Mr. Holland.
Officer Clifton, let me just clarify if I could. When you visited Mr. Ionis in May, he had not purchased any licenses at that time?
No, he had purchased four.
He purchased
just four. And that's why I couldn't understand why he had not got six.
And do you recall when he had purchased the four?
No, because he done that at Long Bay Point Marina. I didn't sell them to him.
Okay.
That was done by computer, and he goes down and purchases them.
Okay. And when did Mr. Sanford approach you to potentially buy the other two that Mr. Ionis had?
It was July 7th.
July 7th, okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Holland?
The metal tags that are put on the stands.
Yes.
And 06 and 07, what stands were they on? Were they on those metal tags? Were they on 6? And do you have any record of what?
He decides that himself, puts them on what stands he wants to put them on.
We don't know what stands they were put on in 06 or 07.
Mm-hmm.
Further questions?
Yeah.
Mr. Schitt.
So what you're saying is when he hands you back two, he's giving you back two licenses.
Two stands that he will not be fishing.
But he's not telling you which stands out of the six that are physically out there that he's giving you back.
Well, on the...
It just has the license numbers.
Right, on this here.
So if there were six licenses out there and they're numbered 1 through 6... and he wanted to give you two back, he wouldn't tell you numbers 1 through 6. He'll tell you 200 and whatever those numbers.
Well, he would indicate
185, 184, and he'd say, I want to give you those back.
I'd ask him, what two do you want to surrender? And he would give me two back. And that's, I would make notations on the on his license that they had been surrendered.
And that number, like 185, would not correlate with a street description of an actual stand.
No.
Okay.
Not.
As a follow-up, so I understand, giving six tags with one license piece of paper that has the six tag numbers on it by virtue of that's right, what's been introduced.
Right.
He says, I'm giving you back number one and two, for example. I'm not relying on that. I'm just using it for an example.
Tags one and two?
Yeah. Do you know, when he gives you back license one and two, which stand it is that he is not going to fish?
I didn't.
That's all I need to know. Thank you. Thank you. We all need Sergeant Clifton anymore?
I don't need it.
You're excused. Don't discuss your testimony with anyone, Sergeant. Thank you. Who's next?
Lieutenant Colonel Warner Rose.
You saw him swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
State your name.
Colonel Rhodes.
Thank you. Proceed, sir.
Colonel, my name is Gary Jenkins. I'm representing Mr. Hionis in this matter, and I appreciate you coming out here today. I don't know if you completely had the choice, but we do appreciate it. What is your position in respect to the chain of command, the BMRC?
I'm a deputy chief of law enforcement. I'm in charge of field operations.
Okay, so essentially, the officers that are out there patrolling report to you?
They report to their area captains or supervisors who reports to me.
Okay. Are your officers in some way trained in the acceptance of applications for pound nets?
Yes, sir.
And in that training, could you just, I guess it would be easier if you described to me what it is they're trained in.
They're trained to accept the application. They're supposed to scan it for completeness and correctness. And that's essentially it. They sign it and date it as to when they received it.
So their signature is asserting this is the date I got this from this applicant.
Yes, sir.
And that's how they're trained.
Yes, sir.
If they signed it to a date previous, would that be incorrect?
Yes, it would.
And would that be something that would cause alarm within your force?
It would cause an alarm with me.
Okay. What if someone applied with an application and your officer took it, looked at it, and realized that the application is asking for a location that is either on land or is not a vacant application? What would you recommend that that officer do with it if they came to you with that situation?
Well, the applicant should be there. Get with the applicant and get it corrected.
Are they authorized to correct it themselves for the applicant?
They're authorized to make sure that the location is as complete as possible and clear.
Let's say the applicant comes back two, maybe 3 weeks later, and they discover that there's something wrong with the application. Is it appropriate to write a new application and date it for the date when the incorrect application was submitted?
Make an amendment. I'd make an amendment on the application that was received.
So if you were going to do it, you would amend it on that form?
Yes, I would.
The other question I have is, in what you would expect of your officers, is it appropriate for them to change a location of a vacant pound net license? In other words, one's vacated in the system, is open for application, would it be appropriate to redesignate the coordinates of that application?
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
As a hypothetical, say there was a license for east of Lynn Haven Inlet, and that's all it said. And then someone came along and wanted to put in an application for that vacant license, and they changed it to northeast of Lynn Haven Inlet. Would that be appropriate?
Are we talking about a location that there is no existing license on?
We're talking about moving an existing license to a new location that wasn't identified on the previous one. Are they authorized to do that?
I'm sorry, I still don't understand your question. I may be thick, but I don't understand it.
If, say, for instance, the vacant license says you can have a pound net on point X.
Okay.
And the officer determines, I've decided that I think it would be better for everyone if we move that 600 yards away to point Y, and writes that on the application, that that's going to be the new location of the previously vacant application at point X. Would that be appropriate?
Not without first talking to the applicant and letting him know what's going on and working it out.
So they are authorized to move locations within your department?
To clarify a location to make it as accurate as possible, yes, they would be. Essentially to avoid situations such as this.
Do you have any regulations that would authorize that, that you're aware of?
Can't think of any right offhand that spells that out in particular.
And I'm not sure if you were or not. Did you assign Officer Bennis to investigate this situation?
No, sir.
Okay. Were you familiar with what was going on?
At some point, I became familiar. I don't know that I knew the day that the situation arose.
And was he instructed to prepare a presentation for the Commission's August meeting?
Yes, he was.
When did you become aware that he had family members working at Long Bay Point Marina?
The day I spoke to you, and you raised a question.
And what did you discover after I raised that issue with you?
That he had two daughters that both occupied the same position at Long Point Marina. When one worked, when one wasn't working, the other one was in that position working it.
And do you feel like that family connection is something that his chain of command should have been advised of?
No.
So you don't see that there was anything wrong with
it? I don't see any relevance in it.
Okay. What if Officer Bennis were good friends with the owners of that facility?
I don't see a problem with that. We all have friends.
Should that have been disclosed at the presentation before the commission?
I don't believe so.
Have you performed any further investigation into the extent of Officer Bennis' involvement or familiarity with the individuals that own that facility?
No, sir. Not since I inquired about his daughter's working at the marina.
Does the Marine Police Force have any rules, regulations, or manuals regarding conflicts of interest?
Yes, sir.
In our investigations?
We have LEOM that spells out.
And could you give some examples of what you would consider a conflict of interest?
If any of our officers owned part of a business that we were investigating, I would consider that a conflict. If they partied heavy or socialized with any people they were investigating, I would consider that a conflict.
So socialized. Can you define socialized?
In the terms I mean, it was spend more than a casual conversation together. I'm talking about going on trips together, vacations, spend numerous hours.
Are you aware that Officer Bennis backdated two documents in connection to this matter?
I'm sorry.
That's argumentative. Officer Bennis has said he's updated and filed amendment. He didn't say I backdated them. That's not the testimony. That's the argument. He can argue that to the commission. He can't ask a question as though that's been true. That's not true.
I asked him if he was aware of that fact. If the fact's not true and he's not aware of it, then he can answer the question. My assumption is he's probably been he's had information on this issue, and he may have already formed a conclusion.
I'm going to sustain the objection. Note your objection or note your concern.
Okay. do you have any knowledge about the date discrepancy on the documents regarding Mr. Sanford's applications?
No, sir, I do not.
Okay. Let's look at them. Everything got mixed up. Okay. And I believe these were exhibit number 3, from Mr. Gionis, exhibit 3. There are two sets of applications. The first two applications over here were accepted by Officer Clifton on July 7th, 2008. And that's these two here.
He says okay. About it. You're not having knowledge of it.
All right. Can
so
you please?
Have any knowledge of it. He can't be asked about it.
I'll rephrase. Could you please look at those and tell me if you recognize those types of documents?
I recognize the document as an application for license for a fixed fishing device location.
Okay, what's the date in this, at the bottom of it?
It says this application received on 7/7/08 at 1500 and license number blank was issued, so the license wasn't issued at that time.
Okay. And then what about the second set?
They were received on the same date, same time. Different signature on acceptance.
So it was a different officer that accepted those?
According to this.
And would you think there'd be a problem if this second set was actually accepted on a day different than July 7th, 2008?
Objection. I think we've gone through this.
I think you all try to take a bite of the apple again in a different way. If you can please, I've sustained the objection. I think counsel is correct. If you want to argue it, you're more than welcome to, but I think the objection has been sustained. Could you please? Please.
Are you aware of any training, provision, anything within your departments that would instruct your officers to take an application for a vacant pound net and reassign it? This is my final question.
No, sir. I can't think of any right offhand.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Weisberg.
Thank you. Sir, I'm going to turn your attention to Mr. Hyannis' exhibits number 3, part of it. It's an application that you've been looking at. You recognize that?
I recognize that as an application for license of a fixed fishing device.
Submitted by Dirk Sanford, is that correct?
That is correct.
And can you read the description on that license?
1,800 yards east of stand 5 on line with State Park and Fort Story, approximately 425 yards offshore, running in a northerly direction, 36 degrees, 55 minutes, 92 seconds north, 76.2, 51 west.
Colonel, would you have any problem whatsoever identifying where that is?
With the coordinates on there, I wouldn't.
What about without the coordinates? Would you be able to tell where it was without the specific longitude, latitude coordinates?
I would have to go to the site and look.
And if you did, you could. Could you not?
I could come close.
Showing you another document. This document is this document is Hyannis 2. Okay. You recognize what this document is?
That is also an application for license of a fixed fishing device location.
Can you tell any difference between the app and do you know, and it's submitted by Dimitri Hyannis, is that correct, in 2005?
Okay.
Is that correct?
It was accepted by Officer Clifton March 9, 2005.
Okay. Can you tell any difference between the application submitted by Mr. Hyonis in 2005, the description, and that submitted by Mr. Sanford in 2008?
Seems to be the same description, except it doesn't have a lat long on it.
That's the only difference, is that it doesn't have lat long on it. Isn't that true?
That's all I can detect here.
Have further questions?
Please direct.
Looking back at that same document, Colonel, if you took that application as an officer and you received it with the lat longs on it, where would you go to see where they're asking to put the item?
I'd go to a chart with lat longs on it, if that's what I was going to go by.
Thank you.
If not, I would go to the area where the net was going to be located, and I'd find some of the landmarks, and I'd lay it out from there.
But if it had the lat longs on it, that's all you need, right?
Now, you want to make sure they both agree with each other.
Okay, thank
you. We need the colonel anymore?
No.
Okay, you're excused. Don't discuss the testimony with anyone. Counselors, in all due respect, we've been going for 3 hours. Commission has been here since 9 o'clock this morning. I fear in such a valuable and important case, the attention spans will start to wander. I'll ask my fellow commission members if they want to continue. Some of them have 3 and 3.5 hour drives, and I know this is important to your clients, but I don't see us with the number of witnesses, and I really don't want to inconvenience them, but at the same time, time is drawing nigh. I'm not sure exactly when we could reconvene, if we decided to reconvene, or if you're getting any closer, or if we're getting any closer to... Gentlemen, how do you feel about it? You've been here a long time.
How long is it going to last? I don't know.
You guys got any ideas how much longer...
I was just going to call two and recall Officer Bennis for a quick question. Six is a lot. We understand the council's position, or commission's position.
A couple hours, I would guess.
A couple hours is what it's looking like based on the flow that we've got. I'll put it to the commission as to what you want to do.
What are our choices?
Your choices are two. We can continue on and finish the case. And hopefully council can move along. The chair haven't done a good job so far. Or we can set another special date to hear the matter. I don't see, talking with Mr. Travelstead, with the agendas that we've got coming up in October, that there's room in that to continue the matter. So we'll have to probably reconvene at another date to hear this matter. And I would need to have everyone here.
I would rather stay here till midnight than come back again.
I agree. Well, I mean, I'd rather get it done today, but I think things need to move along.
Yeah.
We'll try to move as fast as we can, but we have to lay a record. So there's, you know, sometimes, even though we try to push it, it takes a little longer.
Okay. I guess the majority says let's move along. Well, let's continue. So with that, if during the course, if you need a break, let me know you need a break. And we'll take a break. Okay?
Do we take a short break?
We can take a short break. Take 5-minute recess now.
Make a phone call.
Yep. Be ready to recess. Mr. Jenkins. Here's your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Dirk Sanford.
Proceed, sir.
Mr. Sanford, you've met before. I'm Terry Jenkins. I represent Mr. Hyonis. Have you ever been convicted of a felony?
Yes, sir.
And what was that?
Malicious manslaughter.
And when was that?
12 years ago.
12 years ago. And where did that occur?
Short drive.
He is allowed to ask for impeachment. Of course, my client hasn't given any testimony yet, so it's not really the quite right time, but the details of the felony are not admissible. If that he's been convicted, it's
sustained.
Thank you.
How did you obtain knowledge that there may be 2 pound that's available?
From Eric Park.
And who is Eric Park?
Eric Park is a DMRC employee who, I guess, counts licenses that are available.
Okay. Did you have conversations with Officer Bennis regarding how you acquired that knowledge?
I don't know.
You don't remember if he ever asked you?
I really don't know.
We'll look at exhibit number 3, Mr. Hionis' exhibit number 3. We've got them all pulled out here. The first 2 pages is a set of applications. Are you familiar with those documents?
Yes.
And when did you submit those documents?
July 7th, 2008.
Okay. Now, the next 2 documents, it's another set, correct?
These 2 or these?
These 2 right here.
I'm not sure. We have several. This one?
This is just going to be a disaster for the record, and this is part of the problem with having more than one document in an exhibit. We need to identify for the record, if we can, and I'm so moved to do so, whether it's with a 1B or something, what he's talking about for this record.
Please do, Mr. Jenkins, if you would.
Let's identify these as these are actually 3.
They're
3 A, B, C, and D. A would be the application submitted to Officer Clifton, is that correct?
3A? You have 3 there.
Yeah.
Is that
3A? It's 3A, I'm sorry.
The answer was yes? Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is the one, the description starts at 1,800 yards?
Yes.
And then B would have the description starting at east of Lynnhaven Inlet, is that correct?
Yes.
And that was the one submitted to Officer Clifton as well, correct?
If that's his handwriting, yes. Okay. Yes, that says Clifton.
And those 2 were the first set of your application, correct?
Yes.
And then C and D, those were the second set. And the first one begins with the location of the device at approximately 200 yards. Is that correct?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
The first part of that says approximately 200 yards?
Yes.
Under the location, and that was given to Officer Bennis, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and then D. D is the one with the location of device listed as Lower Chesapeake Bay for the beginning of that.
D, yes.
And that was also submitted to Officer Bennis, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Were all these applications filled out on the same date?
No.
When you filled these out with Officer Bennis, did y'all have any discussions as to the importance of putting July 7th on the date?
On which application?
When the applications you submitted to Officer Bennis, C and D.
C and D. Can you repeat the question?
Sure. When you filled out that application, is that in your handwriting at the top on those 2 applications?
Yes.
Okay, so you filled that out.
Yes.
Did you get that information from Officer Bennis?
Yes.
Okay. When you submitted that to him, what was the date?
I don't know exactly when the date was. I can't
Was it July 7th?
No.
Did you all have any discussions about whether or not you should put July 7th on the date?
No.
Could you read, and I'm going to put this up here so everyone can see it. You can see it. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. We're going to look at it. Could you read this portion right here next to your signature?
Given under my hand this 7th.
Could you speak up so that it's on the record?
Given under my hand the 7th day of July, 2008.
So given under my hand the 7th day of July, 2008, correct?
Yes.
And then you sign below it. So is that your signature asserting that that was the day?
We'll stipulate that the document that he's referring to was not signed on the date that it says it was signed. We'll stipulate that it was signed sometime after the 7th, days after. We'll stipulate all that if it'll help move things along.
That's fine.
So noted.
But you said you don't recall any conversations as to what date it should be dated with Officer Bennis?
I don't recall.
Okay. Do you own any fixed net licenses other than the two at issue in this matter?
Yes.
How many do you own?
Objection, relevant. It's not relevant how many nets he has in the north.
It is relevant because he's come. The part of the assertion that his counsel has made that he's got this plan, he's bought these things, and he's planning to pitch these licenses, and so this is involving that.
I haven't heard that.
That was in the opening. His counsel's opening.
We're here on Mr. Hyonis's request that he be allowed to have two licenses he didn't apply for. We're not here on licenses that my client may or may not have in another part of the world. It has nothing to do with today. Yes, my opening was my client spent $10,000 for this spot. That's still this spot. We have to limit this to some extent, and I've requested that.
I agree. Sustained.
In reference to this $10,000, what is it that you purchased?
Nets, poles, ropes.
You didn't have existing nets from other licenses?
Not to go in these stands.
Do you have any receipts of that?
Not with me, but yes.
Okay. No further questions.
Further or redirect?
Yes.
I'm across.
I'm along there. I understand.
Please.
Sir, you have any relationship to Mr. to Officer Bennis?
No, I don't.
Sergeant Clifford? Sergeant Clifton?
No, I don't.
Okay. You found out about these nets by calling the commission?
Eric Bard.
Okay. And when you called him, what was your understanding of the licenses available?
He told me that there were some licenses available up the bay, and I was trying to find out where Mr. Hyonis's licenses were. I knew he had 6 licenses, and I was going to move those traps from up the bay down to the lower part of the bay. And I didn't want to go over top of what his other 2 stands were that weren't being fished.
So what was your initial intention when you thought about this business endeavor? Was it your goal to take Mr. Hyonis' fishing spots specifically?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. What was your goal?
To just put out 2 more found nets.
Okay. And so you called the commission?
Yes.
And you found out what was available?
Yes.
You made your application 1st July 7th.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Now, I just want to make the record clear here, at least as it pertains to this part. Council had marked... We got to go through them again. Okay, I'm showing you a document. Okay, it's been marked now as 3A by Hyonis 3A. Okay, do you recognize that document?
Yes, I do.
Yep. Okay, and it reads for your application that the location of the device is 1,800 yards east of Stand 5 on line with State Park, Fort Story, approximately 425 feet offshore running. Northerly direction, is that correct?
Yes.
And it also has the GPS coordinates, right?
Yes.
Okay. And that was submitted July 7, 2008, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Is this, and it was actually submitted July 7, 2008,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, it was.
All right. This is rare, but I'm going to move for introduction as their Exhibit 3A because it has been previously identified as Hyonis 3A. I'm just trying to make it clear. All right, now moving to the next one. All right, it's been marked as Hyonas 3B. Okay, and it reads, does it not, excuse me, location of device east of Lynnhaven Inlet and west of Fort Story, approximately 1400 east of stand number 4, running northerly direction, correct?
Yes.
And it has GPS coordinates on it, is that right? Yes. And now you submitted this one to Sergeant Clifton, is that right?
Yes.
On July 7th, is that correct?
Correct.
And that was actually submitted on July 7th?
Yes, sir.
Right? Okay. Ready for introduction. Or at least designation, because it's a to okay. We'll get through this. All right, 3D, right? Application states location of device lower western shore of Chesapeake Bay, correct?
Yes.
Look, and it gives them GPS coordinates, is that right?
Yes.
And now that application is dated August 26, 2008, is that right?
Yes. This is after. This is a bit different site.
Okay.
This has nothing to do with
the all right. Site. But it, all right. That's been marked, and I'm moving it as he designated as 3D. Okay. All right, the next one. It's been designated as 3C, tendered on July 7, 2008. Is what it's dated, is that correct?
Yes.
Now, that's not when you submitted, is that right?
No.
Okay. You submitted it sometime after?
Sometime in the, later July.
Okay. And the description on that is location of device approximately 200 yards west of Fort Story Army Base and First Landing State Park property line, 97 yards off MLLW, is that correct?
Yes.
And it has also some GPS designation, right?
Yes.
Now, why is it for Hyonas 3C that you resubmitted this application?
Honestly, I don't know. I think trying to be more correct on the old head where it says the leader pole of where the existing stand was from when Kenny Etheridge drew that stand, I guess he was trying to be a little bit more correct.
Okay. Now, when you submitted this and you dated it, did you pay attention to the date?
I was just kind of like, just copying the date okay. down.
Again. Right. Now, the first application that you made for this spot, where did you understand that to be?
For this one?
Yes.
After I filled out the application, I didn't realize. I thought it was one of the vacant spots where there wasn't any poles at. And I think the second day I was sitting there looking at it, and I realized that it was where his trap is, where trap six is.
Okay. It's been marked as D. Okay. Description, lower Chesapeake Bay, Cape Henry, approximate latitude and longitude is given. Okay. Date, isn't that true?
Yes.
Okay, dated July 7, 2008. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, and that was also submitted later in July. Is
yes.
that correct? Okay. And where did you understand this location to be?
Between just west of Stand 6.
Okay. Did you understand there to be a net there?
No net there.
Okay. So when you made this later application, you were actually applying for a spot that you knew Mr. Hyonas didn't even have a net at. Is that right?
Yes.
Move for designation of these two respectively as 3C and 3D as already identified. Okay, there was some testimony earlier that was perhaps a little confusing about you.
3Ds for some reason.
About you going in to see Sergeant Clifton in May. Do you remember ever doing that?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Do you have any explanation for why he might have thought that?
I think he was confused with me and my brother.
Okay.
My brother was looking for some licenses in May.
Okay. You did not go and talk to him in May?
No, I did not.
You have no question about that in your mind?
I have no question.
Okay.
Counselor, just okay. as a point of clarification, my legal counsel has indicated that you provided me 2 3Ds.
That doesn't work.
No, sir.
The first one was dated August.
Right. One is identified as 3D. That's right. And this one is identified as just D. And, of course, it came out of Exhibit 3.
Okay.
So we'll need to re-identify it. I understand it. Thank you.
Thank you, Cole.
There was another application we didn't talk about. But this
Is this the one that was a different application that was completely different from these two?
July 7th.
Okay. Yeah. There were a bunch of copies that have been pulled out of other things and kind of there, so that might be one of the two Ds.
All right. I'm just going
to... Okay.
We're going to redesignate this one, okay? Description, Lower Chesapeake Bay and Cape Henry approximate latitude and longitude is given. Date on it, July 7, 2008. We previously said this is D, okay? Do you recognize that? And is all that what it says?
Yes.
All right, we're going to move to designate this as, that should be, where, E?
E.
3E. Okay, thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Sanford, how much money have you spent on this endeavor?
Almost $10,000 and quite a bit of time.
Okay. Have you ever seen Mr. Hyonas fishing these spots after this has started, after July?
Yes, I have.
Okay, and when?
My wife and I, last Sunday, we witnessed, I don't know if it was Mr. Hyonas, but from the beach, we witnessed Hyonas' boat, the Russell, fishing Trap 6.
Fishing Trap 6.
Yes.
And Trap 6 is which trap in your mind?
It is the farthest to the east.
Is it near Port Story?
Port Story. It's 400 or 500 feet or so from Port Story.
Further questions? Redirect. I have one question, maybe the commission does. Very important to me, Mr. Sanford.
Yes, sir.
Did anyone from the Marine Resources Commission contact you prior to you contacting Eric Barth, who is, for the record, our coordinator as far as these licenses are concerned? Did anyone from the commission, without solicitation, call you and advise you that there were stands available that you could? Yes. Before you contacted Eric Barth to check on the availability of stands, did anyone from the Marine Resources Commission call you and say, hey, there's some stands available, you may want to apply for them?
No, sir.
Follow up, Mr. Robbins?
I just have one question, Mr. Sanford. At what point in the application process did you realize that trap number 6 was active or actively being fished?
It was probably the next day.
The day after you submitted the original application?
It would have been July 8th.
Okay.
After I submitted it. I never realized that trap was being fished when I filled out the application.
Further questions? Mr. Tankard?
So on trap 6, you came back after July 7th to, as you say, make it more correct. The position, is that what you were testifying?
I didn't come back. Steve Dennis came back and he wanted me for some reason to review the application. Ever, I don't know what the reasoning was behind that.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Next witness.
Mr. Connie Barber.
Connie Barber. Stallings. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
You state your name, please.
Connie Barber.
Proceed, Counselor.
Mr. Barber, my name is Terry Jenkins, and I represent Mr. Hyonas in this matter. What is your occupation?
I'm part owner of Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle.
And how long have you been part owner?
10 years.
You used to work for Mr. Hyonas, correct?
Yes.
How long did you work for him?
About 6.5 years.
When you left employment there, was it under bad terms?
Sort of.
Is it safe to say the two of you are not best friends?
He wasn't there when I quit.
OK. Do the two of you get along?
We talk. We communicate.
When did you gain any information that this incident occurred with two licenses not being renewed in the computer system in your business?
When, I guess it's probably a month or so after he bought his.
So this would have been in August?
No, my understanding was he bought the license in May 1st.
Oh, you're saying a month or so after Mr. Hionis came in?
Yes.
Okay.
So I wasn't there that day.
So that would have been sometime in early June?
Mid-June, yeah.
Mid-June. And how did you find out?
My partner had told me that they had called inquiring about Dimitri's purchase.
Who is they?
The VMRC officers.
And do you know which officers? Did you hear which officers it was?
I wasn't there when he called him, and I'm trying to remember if it was either Officer Clifton or Officer Bennis. It was one of those two.
And this was sometime in mid-June.
Mm-hmm.
How familiar are you with Officer Bennis?
Well, I've known him since he went to work for the VMRC.
Known him in what respect?
As an officer, we've been licensed agents for probably for about 5 or 6 years now, I think.
So you've known him about 5 or 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
Do you see him regularly?
When they're making their patrols, they stop him.
How many times a week do you see him?
I'm going to object on grounds of relevance. He's trying to impeach him. We need to know what about. Right now, he's going through the weight of his testimony, but there's been no testimony that I've heard unless I've tuned out that connects.
I'm not trying to impeach him at all. I'm trying to establish facts as far as his familiarity with Officer Bennis. It goes directly to their relationship. It's got nothing to do with impeachment.
What does their relationship have to do with this, I guess, is my question.
Impeachment of Officer Bennis, perhaps, but not impeachment of Mr. Barber.
But there has to be some testimony about what he would have seen or known about Officer Bennis' involvement in this case. I mean, we've got to get there. We've got to know why this is relevant, why the relationship is relevant, before we're going into bolstering or impeachment.
He just testified that Officer Bennis, potentially, or Officer Clifton, had called in mid-June. That timeline may be significant because, essentially, Mr. Sanford's saying he didn't hear anything until he called the commission in July. And the officers testified that they didn't know anything until Mr. Sanford applied in July. And so if those officers are inquiring at this location about those applications in mid-June, somebody had information sometime before then. So I think it's relevant.
I'll let you continue. But
and I don't have too much anyway, so it shouldn't be too long. So would you say he comes in daily?
No.
A couple times a week?
Sometimes it might be twice a week. Sometimes it wouldn't be in at all.
Does he have family members working for your business?
His daughters work for him.
And I assume he would visit more when his daughters were there?
No.
Do they still work for you?
Well, they just summertime help.
Will they likely come back next summer?
I don't know because she'll be graduating college and she'll probably move on to whatever her career choice was.
Have you had any conversations with Officer Bennis regarding this dispute?
Unless it was questions about who, you know, the, I'm trying to think. Just if there was a question he needed answered about any procedures that we do. Nothing, you know, that I can really put my hands on.
Are you able to recall the first time that you know of or had a conversation with Officer Bennis about this issue with the licenses?
The time frame as far as when all this went down is I'm not positive on because I wasn't paying attention to what time of the month. I mean, I worked 7 days a week And when the questions came up as far as when they had called and asked about the license, and then at the same time, I'd say within, I don't know, a week or so, the first time that Mr. Sanford had showed up and asked me to look in the computer to see if they had released the license.
You're talking about in regards to his July application?
Right.
Because he came back to your facility to purchase it once it was released.
Right. I mean, once they told him whatever information he needed, he just needed to see if it was released yet.
When you discovered in mid-June that these licenses may be vacant in the system, did you tell anyone else?
I didn't know they were vacant.
But you said in mid-June is when you found out that this may have occurred in the vacancy of the
There was inquiries about Dimitri purchasing his license. Now, nobody had told me that anything was available.
Okay.
The only time I found out there was anything available was when Mr. Sanford had come, and that's when I learned that there was two licenses that he had applied for.
And now you brought up a minute ago about your position as an agent to sell these licenses. Did you go to any training for that?
When they first came by and set the system up, that's when they trained us.
And did everyone get trained on it?
Yes.
And everyone was certified as an agent?
Well, there's no...
I guess essentially you and Mr. Ray were
Right, and then we would show anybody else, that our managers, that needed to know it.
Do you understand what forfeited means in the computer system if you see that come up from a previous year's license?
I've never seen it come up.
So you've never seen the identifier that something was forfeited the previous year in the computer system?
Right.
How many pound nuts licenses do you sell per year?
I have an objection. I'm trying to help here. And some of you are not the person who sold the license in this case. That person is here. My objection is that his testimony with respect to that, and how he knows how to do this, is irrelevant. The testimony with respect to the person who sold the license is very relevant, and I have no objection to it.
I must sustain. At this point, if you have other questions to ask pertaining to any other background or transactions and things like that, that's one thing. But at this point, this gentleman was not even present when this transaction took place.
I'm just trying to establish from another person who does this kind of activity what he would do and what he would understand.
But, Counselor, in all due respect, you can ask the person that actually conducted this transaction the same questions, and that, I think, would be the most appropriate one to know whether he is competent.
I'm juxtaposed. If I got two different people saying two different things, then we can figure out who's telling us the right story. That's the only reason we have to go through this with.
Objection sustained. Proceed.
Thank you. I got no further questions.
Good question. I have no questions.
All right. No questions. Thank you, sir. Will y'all be meeting Mr. Barber any further?
No.
You excuse Mr. Barber. Thank you. Please don't discuss your testimony with anyone. Next witness, Mr. Jenkins.
Mr. Stephen Ray.
Stephen Ray.
Kathy.
Ms. Leonard, can you cut the air conditioner off, please? Can you cut the air conditioner off or down a little bit?
Make it warmer.
Make it warmer. There you go.
Thanks.
I'm going to have to get zone air conditioning and climate control in here. Mr. Ray, this is a formal hearing. Would you take your hat off as your Justice Commission? Thank you very much. Would you raise your right hand? You solemnly swear the testimony about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Steve Ray.
Thank you. Proceed.
Mr. Ray, my name is Terry Jenkins. I'm an attorney, and I represent Mr. Hionis in this matter. You received some training as far as your licensure as an agent to sell license for the state?
The only training I've received has been on the job, and when we go into the computer system, they did come out and show us how to operate the computer program.
Mr. Ray, how about moving around just a little bit in front of the mic? Thank you. That way we get a good record. Thanks.
And I guess I should back up. Are you co-owner of Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle?
Yes, I am.
And it's just you and Mr. Barber,
yes,
the owners? Can you identify this document for me?
It appears to be a license renewal for pound nets.
Okay. Is this what you saw that day when you pulled up the computer dealing with Mr. Hionis's application?
Well, unless I saw the pages before that, I wouldn't know whether it was his or not.
Did you come here and testify before the commission previously in this matter?
Yes, I did.
Regarding
yes, I did.
This?
Yes, I did.
Did you submit a document and testify to a document that was the computer printout?
I did not.
You didn't talk about what you saw?
I talked about a printout that I saw that Officer Bennis had with him that presented it, but I did not present it.
But this is not the same document that Officer Bennis showed you?
It appears to be. Like I said,
I got this document from Officer Bennis.
Okay.
He told me that he
right. Well, he.
If he's not going to testify, if he's not sure, or he can say, I think it is.
Okay.
And that goes to the way Bennis can come in and say, that's the document. That
system.
Okay. Let me rephrase it. Is that a fair depiction of what you saw on that day?
I'd say yes. That was a fair depiction.
Okay. I'd like to move to introduce that.
Oh, just so I'm clear, on which day? The day that he sold the license, or the day of the previous hearing?
On May 1st, when you sold the license.
Well, in the previous hearing, Officer Bennis handed this up and said he said that was the document that he had in his hand, was the document that he came to my shop and printed off the computer.
Okay. Is this a fair depiction of that document?
Well, this would be, I mean, looking at the document here, yes, because it's showing that there are four licenses have been sold and there's still two licenses that are available.
I'd move to introduce that as Hionis Exhibit 6.
No objection.
So noted.
Isn't it true that you testified previously that you don't understand how all of these commercial fishing licenses work?
That's correct.
And specifically fixed net licenses?
Correct.
Isn't it true that you rarely sell these things?
Correct. I believe that, checking my records, I believe I have seven that I sell during the year.
Annual.
Right. But they sent me seven plates for this year.
And isn't it true that you testified previously that you don't have any idea how pound net fishing works as far as surrendering and those sorts of things?
Correct.
Okay.
This situation came up. I had no idea. No, sir.
Okay. So you didn't understand the whole concept of surrendering or forfeiture at that point?
No, did not.
Could I have the documents back? So at the bottom, you can look on the screen if you can read it. Otherwise, you can look at it. It's on the second page, but it's actually a two-page printout of one computer screen.
Right.
You see where it says, for instance, forfeited there at the bottom. Forfeited 2006, 1,800 yards.
Right.
And continuing. You didn't really understand what that meant when you pulled this up, did you?
No, did not.
And then the one above that, where it said forfeited in 2006... east of Lynnhaven Inlet. You didn't understand what that meant either.
No, did not.
Didn't you testify previously that Mr. Hionis came in and that there's always some contention when he comes in? Something to that effect?
Not contention. Usually trying to buy licenses or whatever without the proper card or... I mean, there's only been several occasions of that. I mean, once before, he had an agent come in and try to buy his crab pot licenses. And that time, they were handwritten, and they had to be signed by
the person who owned the license. Those are only two.
But I think you had made the comment that anytime it comes in, it's memorable or something to that effect.
Right.
And the day when that transaction took place, I think you testified previously, there was no discussion about whether or not there were six licenses available.
Correct.
So wouldn't it be safe to assume that you may have misinterpreted that forfeited meant those weren't available anymore?
That's possible.
Have you had any conversations with Officer Bennis regarding this case?
Yes, I have.
And what were those conversations?
Well, Officer Bennis called me when he was assigned to investigate it and asked me, you know, what transpired with the sale of the license.
And that's when you pulled up this document and printed it?
No. No, it did not. No, he actually came back before the last hearing and printed that out so he would have it with him.
Okay. So you had a conversation other than this?
Right. Well, I mean, he's our agent in our area, so okay. He's in and out of our shop all the time, but I've not seen him much in the last month, though.
Have you had any conversations with his daughters about this case?
I have not.
When you had that transaction with Mr. Hionis, how many plates did you give him?
Four.
Did you pull out six plates?
Did I pull out six? No.
So you just pulled out four plates and handed them to him?
No, I pulled them out because I have to, once I pull the plates out and make sure they're there, then I have to actually take the plate number that's assigned to that plate and then affix it to one of these. The screen pops up and I have to assign each plate to each net license.
But you do that, Mr. Hewens,
doesn't I do that myself, right?
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have. You're going to need this.
Mr. Weisberg.
Thank you. Sir, Mr. Hionis came into your shop when?
For purchase of license on
yes.
May 1st.
May 1st, he comes in there. Had he ever been in there before to purchase these licenses that year?
No.
Okay. So he comes in, and you're actually talking to somebody, are you not?
Correct.
A salesman, right?
Right.
And what was his name, Mr. Manning?
Doug Manning.
Okay. And Mr. Hionis comes in and he says he wants to purchase his license. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. You type up his information on the screen. Is that right?
Well, first thing I have to do is I have to sign in myself
mm-hmm.
and get onto the system, and then I have to have his commercial ID number in order to access his information.
And, in fact, you told him, I need your commercial ID number. And you guys had a discussion about it where he said, you can just pull me up.
Right. Look my number up.
And he said, no, I can't.
Correct.
So eventually, he goes out there and he gets...
Went out to his car, mm-hmm. came back a couple minutes later, and brought his license in.
Okay. Now, the license that he brought in, is it the license that is licensed for each of these pound nets?
No. Okay. No, it was a... I think it was just his commercial
fisherman.
Commercial card that he has to have okay. in order to purchase any of his licenses.
So you plug that into the computer, right?
Right.
And it pulls up all the licenses that he has. Is that right?
Correct. Okay. Anything that he's eligible to purchase.
Did you ask him, what was your discussion with respect to the licenses on there and how many he would renew?
Well, when they showed up, my only question I asked him, which ones do you want?
All right. And what did he say?
And he said, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
And I said, well, there are addresses assigned to them. You know, which ones do you want? And then I checked underneath my counter where I keep my license at plates to make sure that I had, the amount of plates that I had pound at plates. But sometimes
And you only had four, right?
No, I had, it should have been seven, I think.
You had seven at
six,
the time?
Oh, it might have been six.
Are you sure about how many you had?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I just checked to make sure I had found that license.
Okay.
Because I have them all in order.
All right. And you tell him it does matter.
Correct.
Which licenses you want to renew. Isn't that
right?
Right.
I said there are addresses with all of them. Which ones do you want?
Okay. And what did he say?
Doesn't matter. So I
all
said, well.
What'd you say?
I said, well, which ones are you fishing? And.
Did you show him the screen?
Well, yeah, the screen's, you know, right there in front.
Okay. And how did so he tell you which ones he wanted?
I just read off the addresses.
Okay.
And
then
the
he said,
four,
I'll take that one, and I'll
right.
take
that one and that one.
And did you discuss with him anything about them? Did you say, you sure you don't want that one? Or did you just
no.
say, okay, you want that one? Done. So yep. how?
We're done with four. That was it.
Okay. So you licensed the first four that he said?
Correct.
And you assigned a plate for that address?
To each license, right.
Okay. Anything else happen after that?
I gave him his licenses, and he wrote me a check, and he went out the door.
He try and give you back two licenses?
Nope.
Did he talk to you about whether or not he had any other licenses?
Nope.
Any further questions?
Redirect.
Couple of questions. You said that you asked him which ones do you want. He said it doesn't matter.
Correct.
But at the same point, you've also said that you didn't understand the forfeiture concept, correct?
Correct.
Is it possible that he meant it doesn't matter because I have to forfeit two? I don't care which two you forfeit. Okay. I'll draw that.
Thank you.
Try to streamline it.
Yeah.
But he never told you that he didn't want two of his licenses, did he?
No.
In fact, you read off four, correct?
Correct.
Or that's what you're saying. Well, at this point, you're saying that you read off four.
Correct.
But you never read off two, and he said, I don't want that one, I don't want that one. That never happened, correct?
No.
So you went through four after he said, I want to renew my licenses, correct?
Correct.
And then you gave him four plates, correct?
Correct.
Did you feel he had the authority to fish all four plates at that point?
I had no idea.
Okay. No further questions.
Is Mr. Ray free to leave if you need anyone?
I have no objection to anything. I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Ray. You're excused. Please don't discuss your testimony with anyone. Mr. Jenkins, who's next? Have a good evening.
Call Mr. Paul Sauls.
Paul Sauls. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Paul Henry Schultz.
Proceed.
Mr. Schultz, are you familiar with the pound nets between Lynn Haven Inlet and
Fort Story?
Fort Story.
Yes. Yes, I've been around them for a number of years.
What is your exposure to them? How long have you been?
Well, in the early 90s, I had a charter boat, and I was at Glen Haven Inlet, but I got to know Kenny Etheridge with the pound nets. So I got to where I'd go out and help him out, you know, just because it was good exercise, and I'm a physically active person. And I got to learn how it all worked. I never did learn how to mend a net or make a net, but how to put up a pound net, how to fish a pound net, you know, and those kinds of things. And I did that with him. And then when Dimitri got it, I went to him and I said, you know, I like to do stuff like this. You know, you mind if I just come around and help you out? And he said, no problem. So I go over there and help out whenever I want to. I'm not on a time clock or anything like that. And I still do it to this day, and I'm going to be 74 years old because it keeps me physically active and in good shape. So I have that familiarity of having observed this now since the 90s to 2008.
And so you've been familiar with off and on kind of a part-time basis, helping to work these nets?
Yes, yes.
Has there ever been any confusion as to which nets were being fished out there?
No, there's always been four sites that have been fished historically, as far as I'm familiar with it. That's the four basic places that they're set up now.
Is there
within a few feet, because, you know, if this one got torn up when Kenny had them and tools got wrecked and stuff like that, and they had to set a new net rather than set it on broken pilings, you know, they'd move it over a few feet so you have clean ground, so to speak, and not tear up your net.
Has there ever been any confusion as to the surrendering of certain licenses to be able to fish those nets?
No, there's, as far as I know, there to fish the four nets, there were two others that were not fished or set, and those were the offshore nets. Other than that, these basic four sites have been the four that have been fished as far as I'm familiar with it.
Are you familiar with any previous contentions involving Mr. Etheridge's licenses to these nets?
The only thing I know about that was, of course, he had to give up two to fish for weak fish, but the number four net, as I always called it, which was the Cape Henry net, he had not put a net on it 1 year for some time. You know, it was earlier in the season, and he was approached and advised that, you know, he's going to lose that net because somebody else had fished in it if he wasn't fishing it. So he went out and strung just a piece of net on it so that legally he could say, all right, I'm working that net. And, you know, I heard, you know, rumors as to who it was, but it was a questioning, you know, that, and that's just second hearsay, if you would say.
Was there ever a storm or something that caused the problem with one of the nets?
Yeah, the number.
I'm going to object. I'm trying to figure out where we're going, and
this is the last
prior to this incident, or
no? This is within, I think, recent history.
Well, if I knew it was within like a few months, maybe I wouldn't object. But I have no idea when we're talking about, and I'm assuming it's from Kenny Etheridge, which is before 2005, which I would object to.
Is it during Mr. Etheridge's?
Well, we have to have him established, but I think it's somewhere right around the point of the transition between.
Well, there was a net at the Cape Henry net, which got destroyed pretty much by Isabel. And,
So before we
set the number four again.
I'm just trying to point out there was
there
was issue with these piles that are still in the ground, and there was discussion of the net moving, and he's got information.
I think we have sustained previously that there are situations where the nets do move, Counselor, in all due respect. Thank you.
I have no questions.
Will you need Mr. Scholes anymore? You're excused. Thank you very much for your testimony. Don't discuss it with anyone.
Thank you.
Stay in good health. Who's next?
My intention.
There you go. Who's next, sir? Mr. Jenkins.
The doctor says I'm ready to go for another 20 years.
I want to go to your doctor.
Mr. Walton.
Richard Walton. Is this your last question?
Just Mr. Hionis.
That's what I meant as far as sequester. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
State your name, please.
Richard Welton.
Okay, proceed, Counsel.
Mr. Welton, I'm Terry Jenkins. I'm counsel for Mr. Hionis. Would you please enlighten us as to your familiarity with the nets at issue in this matter?
Several years ago, I don't remember the exact date, I went to work for Mr. Hionis, purpose of running the net in the new building that he was under construction at the time. And I was present with Mr. Hionis when he negotiated with Kenny Etheridge and bought the nets. As a matter of fact, I was for a short while a minority owner and paid some money to Mr. Etheridge myself. So I'm here with the negotiations of what he bought, and I actually ran the operation for him for a year and a half.
And in all your time dealing with these nets, was there ever any confusion about which four nets were being fished?
No. Well, when we bought it, one net was not being fished. It had been fished before, and there was three nets. We bought six nets. Three of them were not being fished. Two of them weren't intended to be fished. They were intended to be given back to the VMRC. The licenses were to get with the United States Marine Fisheries Commission requirement to reduce your catch of gray trout. And there was a fourth one that had not been fished for several years. However, we put a piece of net on it every year to maintain the right, and then eventually I was there, we rebuilt that net and fished it.
And so you worked on these nets on behalf of Mr. Jonas as well?
Yes.
Were you involved when Officer Bennis raised an issue regarding an extension coming off of one of the nets?
No.
Okay. Was there ever any concern expressed to you during your experience with these nets from the VMRC police as to which licenses were surrendered and which licenses were identified on the pound nets?
No. Actually, the first time they asked for the licenses, I didn't have them, and I was afraid we didn't have them, and I went to Mrs. Onis, and she indeed had them. As my understanding, Officer Clifton had dropped them off, and I kept them in a notebook and a plastic sleeve and a canvas bag and took them on the boat with me every day after that, so I had them. But there was only, they were just asking me, did I have the licenses, four licenses.
So essentially all they really cared to check, from your understanding, was that you had four plates to put out there.
Absolutely.
No further questions.
Counselor, questions?
Mr. Welton, in the, how many years was it that you were working with?
A year and a half.
Okay, and were you involved in any of the renewal processes of his licenses?
No.
Okay, no question.
Redirect. Counselor, no further. Any questions of the commission? Mr. Welton, free to go.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good seeing you, sir. Sharonis. He's right here. You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name, please.
Dimitri Hyannis.
Thank you. Proceed, sir.
Mr. Hyannis, could you just describe to the commission what happened on May 1st when you, involving your request to renew your licenses?
I received a phone call from Mr. Clifton. And he told me, Dimitri, you have no license. You need to go to the Long Bay Point and get them right now. That's exactly the words he's telling me. And I say, I will do. And I left the same minute that he called me, and I went to the Long Bay.
What happened when you got to Long Bay?
It's hard to describe. You go in a place, I don't know if anybody, if you have been, that people don't dislike you for any reason, you know. So I arrive in and I ask him if I can get the license. At the moment he was talking to somebody about a problem he has with the reel. And he made me wait. And then he told me he needs my ID number. I tell him I do not have with me. I need the license because I've been notified from VMRC. And you know, I was trying to avoid to go back to get him from my store. However, I realized I cannot go through him because he did the same thing to Mr. Wharton the year before. And I said, I better go back. I went back to the car. Then I thought about maybe I have it on my wallet. I looked at my wallet and it was there. I come right back in. And I said, here's my license. Now he's sitting as far as from me to you. Yeah. No, maybe a little bit closer.
Can we let the record reflect that's approximately 10 feet?
Please.
Maybe 10 feet, yes. He asked me what I want. I say, I want my license, the pound net that I have from last year. Copy the same license. He looked through the computer, and he had some kind of difficulty. I don't know what he was doing. I don't know if he was trying to help somebody in the field or was he not understand the computer. He came up with the license. He gave me the license, I paid him and I left.
When you say you paid him, what did he actually hand you? Did he hand you something physically?
Yeah, he gave me the license.
Did he give you some plaques?
He gave me four plates, and he gave me the tape that comes off the computer.
Okay. And when you purchased your license in the past, how many plates did you get?
Four.
And so did you have any reason to believe when you walked out of there that you hadn't purchased all six?
Not even further imagination, no.
When you bought these licenses for Mr. Etheridge, how much did you pay for those licenses?
$140 plus what I spent.
And how much did you spend on these nets since you purchased them in 2005?
Approximately $150,000 more.
And what was that spent?
Counselor, he said $140 to begin with. He didn't say how much was the initial transaction.
No, he said $140 he paid for the license.
For the license. My fault. I did not mean
Yeah.
Okay.
My understanding, you're testifying that 150 is in improvements to the nets. And
I purchased brand new pylons in the number 4 net of the core number 6 net where I build it.
Excuse my interruption. I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
And I purchased brand new nets who I have all the receipts from Calakula factory. And all the labor, all the work, and the materials, it's an approximately $150,000.
And you have employees that are working these nets?
Yes, sir.
And they've been employed since 2005 or that time frame?
Oh, pretty much.
How many employees do you have?
In the summer, we're running sometimes 8 to 12 people. 12 most of the times. It's actually more because it depends to those businesses who are holding my other store. I have a fish market that it depends a lot to this business. So I can say there are more than 12 people.
Let's move to this time frame of early July. How did you find out there was this error or vacancy in the system regarding two of your licenses?
Mr. Benyus. He came up, I don't remember, he claims that he came up to the deck outside, but I thought he came up in the office. And he asked me if I can see my license. And I say to him, they're in a boat. They're not with me. And he said, do you remember what license you have? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you're missing two licenses. And I said, I don't know. That's something new. And this is the time I put him on a speakerphone and called Connie Barber or Steve Ray, who owned the Long Bay Point Marina, in a speakerphone and asked him, I want to help, tell me whose license I have. There is claimed that I have only 4 and not 6. And he was in a speakerphone, and the officer Baines was sitting right next to me. Listen to that. Who testified earlier for?
For clarification, who did he speak to, Connie Barber and Steve Ray, or which one?
It was Steve Ray was on the phone. Steve Ray.
Thank you.
And what happened in that conversation with Mr. Ray?
Mr. Ray, he told me he's going to let me know. And then he told me he cannot get in a computer to let me know what it was. He did not know what I had.
And now you had Officer Bennett still either in your office or somewhere outside of your business.
Yes, sir.
You expressed a desire to purchase these two licenses at that point, correct?
Immediately.
And you were told that you weren't allowed to.
Well, it was something else, too. Mr. Clifton called me. Mr. Clifton never came to see me. He called me, and I asked him, Mr. Clifton, can I have this license? Say, I don't any longer have anything to do with this, Dimitri. Go to Mr. Benyus. Well, Mr. Benyus came to me. And I said, can I have this license? Well, he said, right now we're working on something. I don't know if we can do that.
And that was on or about July 9th, correct?
July 9th, yeah.
Did Officer Benyus make any other statements to you about what was going to happen with these
two licenses at issue?
Officer Benyus told me that Mr. Safra will never get those licenses. Straight.
Do you have anything else you'd like to say to the commission?
I was listening to the testimony from most everybody here, and I respect and I really respect Mr. Clifton. I think he's a very honest and honorable man. Mr. Clifton, he said he came to see me in my office, but I'm 100% sure he called me and told me, and I tell you why he called me, because he told me, go right now in Long Bay Point and get your license. It was right to help me that time to do that. If he was with me there and talked to me there, he was going to follow me or run. It's only a mile or maybe a little bit more than a mile. He would go there and check if I really did that license. But I went immediately and I done exactly what I say. He said, I want my license, which I done. I repeat the license of last year. The first year when I arrived there, I spoke to Connie Barber, which is more experienced to me. It looks like he knows what he's doing. And I asked him, this is what the VMRC wants me to do. And I showed him the license. And he copied the license and gave it to me. Now, this year I go to Steve Ray and I say, I want you to give me the license of last year. I never say four. He never called names because if he called me the names, I will know what to say to Mr. Benyus when he was sitting in the office and asked me, which license you have? I should know what license I have. I did not know what license I was missing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you've got to stay up and answer
okay.
any questions.
Okay.
Sir, you remember going into the bait shop to get your licenses?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. And just to be clear, had you spoken to Sergeant Clifton prior to May about not having your licenses?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. And how long prior to May was it that you talked to him about not having those?
5 minutes before.
Before May?
Yes.
Okay, so I understand the confusion. May's the first time you ever talked to him, right?
Right.
Okay. And you went, as soon as he told you, right down to the bait shop.
Yes, sir.
Didn't want to take any chances,
mm-hmm.
right? And you get down there, and you speak with Mr. Ray.
Yes, sir.
Right? And Mr. Ray tells you he's got to get your commercial fisherman license
yes,
to get
sir.
The ID,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
You argue with him a little bit, right? He said, no, just pull it.
No, they don't argue. I said, please help me get my name, and it's going to pop my license.
That's so you asked him to do it with your name only, right?
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir,
then he said, I can't do it.
Yes, sir, you did.
Okay. And then you eventually go out and get your license. Right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Come back in. He
yes.
pulls up your information with your license mm-hmm. ID number, right?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then and he pulls it up. And you can see the screen he's looking at.
No,
right?
I can't.
You can't see it at all?
No. You cannot see screen from here to the other side.
The screen is not facing away from you, though, is it?
Well, if you take this one, and even smaller, if I remember, I don't remember the screen. But even if you take this as big as this, and you move it down there, can you tell what it is?
Not my question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
I misunderstand
okay.
you.
I'm going to tell you my question.
Okay.
All right? My question is, when you were standing there at the counter getting your licenses, the screen was facing you, right?
I don't really recall that.
So you don't know whether you're looking at the back or the front?
I don't really recall to show me the screen.
No. Not my question. My question is not whether he showed you the screen. My question is whether or not the screen had its back to you or its front. And the truth is, it had its front to you, right?
Oh, Steve Ray was sitting in front of me.
Right.
Me, I'm here. Steve Ray is working, not facing the water, I'm assuming, because his back was always facing me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, would you agree? He asked you which licenses you wanted to renew.
I never hear him say that. Never.
Okay. Do you agree that he said to you, y'all had a discussion about needing to designate a license with an address?
This is out of this world. I never hear that.
Never heard?
No, never, never.
Never heard any discussion about addresses at all?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
The question was clear. Give me my license of the last year. I did never say another word. They don't talk to me, sir. We're not in a good terms.
Okay.
So I'm not trying
I'm not
to
asking
go.
About
well.
It. You're stuck with my question.
All right.
Not
I'll listen to
you. Okay. All right. Prior years, you've made applications for these sites, right?
You've applied for these sites for since 2005,
right?
And you got the licenses,
mm-hmm.
right? And since 2005 up until this year, you've gotten six licenses, mm-hmm. right? And of those six licenses, you've tendered two back, right?
For this, yes, I did.
Okay? And in prior years, you've never made a difference. You never really knew which two you're giving back,
right?
Right? But you knew the location of your licenses in prior years. Is that right? You knew when you made your application, you had to put a location down for where your devices were, right?
The location has been given for me from professionals, which was Mr. Etheridge.
Okay.
So Mr. Etheridge is fishing for 28 years or 25 years before me. He gave me those licenses. It was acceptable for Mr. Clifton. I follow the description, where they are located, and I've done exactly
right.
what they said.
So in 2005, and it's already been introduced as your exhibit number 2, you fill out an application for license of fixed fishing device, and you designate a location, right?
I never designate location.
I'm showing you exhibit number 2, right? That's your signature at the bottom, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. And you're signing at the bottom of an application for a fixed fishing device, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that application, does it not give a description of where it is you're requesting to be allowed to fish?
He does give me a description, but I take Mr.
You're not answering my question.
Well, I do answer your question if you let me answer the way I want it.
No. I can ask them to instruct you,
okay.
or you can just answer my question.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not say on this application that you put an actual description of where it is you're fishing?
That is say there.
Okay, and you sign at the bottom of that
yes,
page, don't you? Okay? It's not as if you fill out a blank application.
What year is this one here?
I'm asking a question.
What year is this one here?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Which year is this
one? A year. This year. Okay? 2005, right?
You dated it. This year. You mean 2005. Okay.
This application, exhibit number 2, is for 2005. Can you read that?
This is only transfer from Mr. Etheridge to me.
Okay. This is the transfer from 2005,
yeah, okay.
right?
Yeah.
And in that application,
yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
You designate where it is you're requesting to be allowed to fish.
To make clear that I understand you, can you tell me if this is on Mr. Etheridge's transfer to me?
Look at this document.
Well, is this the
you
only
signed this document?
Yes.
Did you not?
Is that the case, sir? They are probably signed without knowing. They sold me the license.
Okay.
They know what they did.
So your testimony is under oath. That you may have actually signed this application and the location part was blank?
I never, when I purchased the license, I arrived. Can I be clear to you? So can
go ahead.
You,
I'm all right.
When I purchased the license, I purchased the six rights that Mr. Etheridge gave me for $140,000, which I did not go in a street and see, oh, this is a Cape Henry, or this is a Long Bay, or this is whatever the street it is. I purchased the right of those licenses. When they make me sign, I purchase and sign the six licenses that they give me. Now, I was not necessarily know what was exactly the street at the moment that I asked for.
Okay. 2006. You see this document? It's been previously entered as Hyonis number 7. You see this document?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Your signature at the bottom, right?
Yes, that's
next
right.
to that date
mm-hmm.
is January 5, mm-hmm. 2006, right?
Yes.
Okay. And in this fixed fishing device...
Sorry, objection. That document was not in
place. Okay.
It was not.
I thought the entire record has been noted. I thought counsel has tendered his entire binding.
Passing that up, you want everything introduced separately. That wasn't...
All right. Move for introduction. Is this a true and accurate copy of it? Your signature in this application?
This is my signature.
All right. Move for introduction as Sanford 5.
I don't know where I lost your.
It would be 7, I believe.
Okay.
Yep.
Move for introduction, Sanford 7. Okay, take it as admitted. Okay, in this document, you would agree, would you not, it gives specific descriptions of the licenses for which you are applying?
That's so 5.
You signed it in 2006, correct?
The date is 11/17/05.
Okay.
But I understand that. It's a 2006 renewal for license of fishing. Let's publish it. You're saying it's 05, right? Right up here? November 1705, right?
Yes.
And then the title of the document is 2006 renewal for license of fixed fishing device, right? Now your signature here is in 06, right? January 5, 06. Is that right?
I can't recall this.
Okay.
And I tried to think about when we purchased them. I don't remember the day.
Okay.
So this is for
forget about the date.
Okay.
You admit and you would agree.
I signed this, but I wonder if this is what they give me to sign. Have somebody fix it for me and make me sign without being aware which is the license.
Do you think, are you telling the commission it's possible you signed a blank document that was later filled in? Is that your testimony?
No, I don't say that.
Okay.
I
said because the document was filled in, right? Whenever it was, this was filled in, right? All these descriptions, they were all filled in, and all these numbers were all filled in, and then you signed, right?
Who fills that in?
Not my question.
Okay, well, I trust the Marine that they direct me to the right direction. And
so you trusted that they were directing you for this
license. To the right license.
To 1,800 yards east of Stand 5 online with State Park and Fort Story, right?
To the right
you
license.
You trusted it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
That was a license where you were going to be able to license,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And you never renewed the location for that license this past year in 2008, did you?
This was a question. Who changed that? I never changed that.
You never renewed that license, did you?
According to what the papers they gave me, the Nico Buren, that's what they say.
That you never did, right?
Yeah.
And to this date, you haven't made application. You're under oath. You understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
You haven't made application to this date to fish 1,800 yards east of Stand 5 online with State Park and Fort Story, have you?
I have request.
You have what?
I ask to take my permits back to pay for it. And they tell me they don't allow me yet.
Right. And the first time you did that was in May, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you had that discussion with Mr. Ray, do you deny that you told him the addresses don't matter?
Absolutely not.
You never said that?
Never.
Are you still fishing these spots?
I'm fishing the spots, yes.
All of them, right?
Yes.
Including 1,800 feet off Fort Story?
Yes, I fished the spots. It's been over a week. I have not touched it.
And the pound net that is at that Fort Story location, which everybody's been referring to as number 6, actually has next to it old poles, right?
Yes, yes.
There was a storm that came through.
Yes, sir.
And you have a number, more than one old pole out there, do you not?
There's four.
All right. Why haven't you ever removed them?
I tried many times to remove them.
But
it's
you did.
Extremely expensive to move them. And I was going to break them down, but I'm afraid if I break them, it can be dangerous for somebody. So we're waiting till something happens to the nets, to the big nets, and I have to hire a big company because nobody can set paddles in that area except the big the barge, and I will make them remove.
You've been advised to stop fishing there, haven't you?
I've been told from Officer Clifton about a week ago not to go there.
You were told before that, too, weren't you?
From who?
Oh, you've been told by somebody, right?
Can you tell me?
Have you not been told by anybody other than Mr. Clifton prior to a week ago?
We sent the letter to the VMRC exactly say the reason they want to fix that, and it was no answer back. And I asked Mr. Benyus if that's going to be all right to fix it till the commissioners make a decision.
How much money have you made since July on those nets that you don't have licenses for? Strike that. How much money have you made on the license off of Fort Story? License number 6.
This year I haven't made any money at all.
None?
No.
Not a penny.
This year, if I make money, I will make from now till the closing of the season. I break even. I'm going to make money from now till the end of the season.
How many fish have you brought in? How many fish have you brought in from net number 6? The one off Fort Story.
Oh, well, it's in the records. If you want to see it, I don't know.
No idea?
No.
Some, right?
It's
a lot.
Probably.
Right? you've fished and you've gotten a lot of fish out of
there. You must have the records that I don't have, because I'm telling you, I don't recall what I have down there. If you want to ask me if that's a better net, yes, it is.
That's the best net out there, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And you testified earlier that you bought these nets from Kenny Efforts?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you paid how much?
$140.
Okay. You actually ended up refusing to pay him for those nets originally, right?
Well, he promised me he's going to give me the nets, and on I pay him, he disappeared. He never gave me the nets, so I bring him to the court.
And you end up going to court, and you end up settling out.
I still pay $140 plus. I have receipts for that.
You still paid him $140 plus. How much did you originally agree to pay him? $140. One last issue. When Sergeant Clifton used to come to you and he used to give you your licenses and your license plates, do you remember that?
He always went to my wife.
Okay. You don't ever remember getting any plates from him?
Yes. One year we lost the plates. And we called Mr. Clifton and he came up and he bring me 4 new plates. And we want to put them in the nets right away.
Is it your testimony that he's never giving you 6 plates and then you giving them back too?
I never have 6 plates from anybody. And Mr. Clifton, he may be typically keep the 2 without asking me, but I never know that the 2 forfeited, that they call them forfeited, they have also plates. There is nowhere to put a plate on a forfeited net. They don't exist. It's not a net that they're there and I don't use them. There is not existing. There are pilings that never been set. As long as I've been here for 29 years, I never saw them.
My question is, do you disagree with Sergeant Clifton who testified that he gave you 6 plates and you would give him back two? Do you disagree with him?
Yes.
Thank you.
Just a couple of redirects. On May 1st, when you went into Long Bay bait tackle, what was your intent regarding your licenses? What was your intent to express?
I want my license to comply with the Mr. Clifton problem give me, that I want to make sure I have my license for the pound nets.
Did you want all 6 licenses?
Absolutely.
And you never said you didn't want 2 of them?
I never did, no.
No further questions.
I think Mr. Holland.
I have a question. If you purchase 6 licenses, you surrender 2, keep 4. If you purchase 4 licenses, what do you have to surrender?
I have to surrender 2 or 1. I'm not sure they know more than that.
I can't remember. What's the equation? 2? Two.
So my question is, he purchased 4 licenses, then he shouldn't have gotten but 2 licenses.
Two plates.
You should have surrendered to. Okay.
Mr. Tiger?
But let me be clear here now. You walked out with 4 plates, right, Mr. Yonas?
I'm sorry, sir.
You walked out of Long Bay with four
plates.
So if he, in fact, had purchased 4 and was going to surrender 2, he wouldn't have walked out with 4, correct?
That's the way I understand it.
Mr. Schick.
When you left the bait and tackle shop, you had 4 plates.
Yes, sir.
You also had a receipt.
Yes, sir.
And the receipt was for how many licenses?
I have a receipt. I did not look what they gave me. You know, I purchased licenses before. It never happens to me that. I have every license, from crabbing to any license. I never look what they gave me. That's a mistake. But I never want 4 licenses. I thought I have my license.
How much is a license, 1 license?
Now I find, I thought it was 25, but it's 41.
So when you bought the licenses, you paid for 4.
Yes, sir.
But you knew that they cost $41 a piece.
I did not know that. Always, Mr. Clifton came in
and he went upstairs, and my wife, he gave her the paper, and he walks out. I was not aware, and plus I was too nervous, first of all, to deal with these people, and be Mr. Piftoni telling me I'm behind the line. I want it done. I don't even care how much it's going to cost. I want to have my license. It was not an issue. $120,000 to $150,000 net for $41.
Now, did you give the receipts to your wife? Did she do your bookwork?
Well, I went to the board and I gave the license because they was not having any license. And Mr. Paul Saltz, the man who was sitting here earlier with one of the kids that are working for me, they went immediately to the nets to post them. You post them with the nails. And I don't know if I gave my wife the if she was there at the moment or not, but I gave her the bill, whatever
the receipt.
Yes.
Further questions, Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Hyonas, did you handle the license renewals for the Nets in 2007 and 2006, or did your wife handle that transaction?
2006, it was my wife. 2007, it was me.
Okay, thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Hyonas. Mr. Jenkins, you rest?
You rest, Your Honor. Recall, Sir Bennis. While he's coming in, if I can recall, retrieve the map.
Yep. Officer Bennis, you've been previously sworn. You're still under oath.
Yes, sir.
Proceed, counsel.
Thank you. Officer Bennett, I have on screen what's been previously entered as Sanford 1. And you recognize that as the map you identified earlier?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to show you what's been entered as Hyonas Exhibit 3. These are the ones I think that were re...
Yep, I got them.
3 A, B, C, D.
Thank you. Take them one at a time here. See if I can get them in order. Okay. Let me show you specifically what's been designated as Hyonas 3A. Okay, you recognize what that is?
Yes, this is what I consider to be the six license.
Okay. And I think you have already put on there number 6. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
On the map.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. I'll take that. Alright. Now, I'm going to show you 3B. Hyonas 3B. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Can you give us, is there any way looking at that description that you can put on that map where that would be?
No.
Okay, and why not?
Because these lats and longs on here.
What's wrong with the lats and longs?
I believe that they are offshore from Fort Story in the area that the military would not allow us to put down nets.
Okay, thank you. Okay, showing you 3C. I got a couple more before you take those glasses off. Okay, 3C. You see the description?
Yes.
Can you put that anywhere?
Yes, I could put that. This is going to be that location that I modified to be a more accurate location, and that would be close to where this pen is right here.
Will you put an H3C there for Hyonas 3C?
Just right in there somewhere. I'm not...
I
can't be accurate doing this.
I understand. I'm asking
just
for
approximate.
And we put a 3A next to number 6, which is what you previously identified where 3A was. Okay. Now, thank you. And now 3D. Can you do it for 3D?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
3D, this is an application from Mr. Sanford. that was taken on 8/26. Mm-hmm. This was not introduced in the evidence when I was in here.
I know, but we're doing this, it. It's already been introduced.
This is going to be located approximately 200 yards seaward of what I'm considering license number one.
All right, that'd be, can you put a 3D there for H3D?
This is an open application that has not been...
Please note it as H3D instead of just 3D.
Would you put an H there? Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right, and then I'm showing you H3E, or high onus 3E, and can you do the same for that, please?
This is the update for the number 5.
All right, put an H3E. 3E is an elephant. Okay? Now, of these licenses, as you've marked with an H on the map, okay, what, if any, of, or how many, if any of them, can stay there without interfering with Mr. Hyonis's presently placed nets?
How many can stay there?
Right.
H3E can stay there. That's within 300.
Big circle around that. Yeah.
It squeezes in there, but mm-hmm. it's a tight squeeze, but it does squeeze in there.
Okay.
H3C mm-hmm. and 3A would interfere with each other.
Okay. But would now take
H3D, okay. which is a new application, which has nothing to do with mm-hmm. with any of these issues. This is an application.
August application.
Been interviews. Legally can go out there.
Circle that if you would.
That would have to get it to a public right. hearing.
Now, for H or for H3A, and we put an H next to that 3A.
In front of the
For H3A and H3C, would either one of those be able to be placed there without interfering with Mr. Hyonis's presently placed net?
I'm confused now.
Well,
H3A is Mr. Hyonis's.
That's dead set on it, isn't it?
That's yes, sir.
That's the one that matches the description of net 6 of 1800 off of, let me find it precisely, the Ford Story.
The Ford Story.
What you've been
Ford
calling Story, license number 6.
License number 6, okay. The Ford Story State Park boundary line.
So
that's the existing stand, which is H3A. If H3C had to go in there, that these two nets would interfere with each other. They would be within the 300-yard
okay.
separating nets.
So none of these three can coexist under the regs. Is that right?
None of...
Number 6, I'm sorry, Mr. Hyonis's net, where it currently is, H3C and H3A cannot, any of them, coexist under the regs.
H3A and H3C cannot coexist with it. And... I would have to look at the distance between that existing net and where this one would be, because there's about 100 yards in here. I think if I recall right, that does measure out properly to fit that dead center. You've got probably about 20 to 30 yards anyway on your side of it.
Okay.
So, I can't say positively on that as not interfering with this existing one, but I don't think it interferes with it.
And when I say interfere, let's explain what
legally
that
interferes. You have to have a 300-yard clearance from center poles to center poles.
Under the red. So in other words, you can't create another spot within 300
yards of another net.
300 yards of another. Okay. Thank you.
Stolen your penalty.
You like that? Officer Bennis, you... Much has been made over these applications. Okay. You told Mr. Sanford to re-sign a set of these applications.
Yes.
Right? Why did you do that?
Because the descriptions that were on the original ones were not accurate or not correct as far as anywhere near where these things should be.
And how were they incorrect? Because of a GPS?
The GPS locations that were added to the description that came up from the old licenses.
If you struck the GPS designation from the application, would they then match?
Yes, they would.
Okay. And when you redid the applications, okay, did you guys even discuss the date?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
I told them I was dating them as the same date as the original application, and he asked if he should throw away his original application. I told him not to do that, to keep that for future reference, and put the two together.
And in your mind, this is an updated or amended application.
This is an amended application. It is not a second application or a new application or anything. It's just an amendment of the original application. That's why I dated it as the same date. And I wasn't going to sign Sergeant Clifton's name to it. I signed mine as doing the amendment.
We're trying to hide.
But the application was accepted on July 7th, that's when the original application was accepted. That's why I put that date on there.
You actually came to Mr. Sanford and requested he change the application,
yes,
right? He never, ever approached you and said, hey, I want to change this application,
no.
Right? You came to him. Did you come? Where did you find him?
I met him that day at the City Marina.
And you said,
City Municipal
we have a problem with the locations. I want you to re-sign.
It was, yeah, yes.
I don't have any further questions.
Mr. Jenkins?
Jenkins? Yeah. Okay. You want this? Maybe. Okay. Thank you. Excuse me. There's a lot of H3AE. Okay,
that's adding more confusion to the numbering system that's already there. Yes, sir.
So long as we're in agreement on that. You told Sanford to re-sign the new applications, correct?
Yes, it is.
Now, you're characterizing those applications as an amendment.
As an update or an amendment, yes, sir.
It's got to be one or the other. Either it's a new application that's different, or it's an amendment.
Objection.
And so I'm asking him to select which one it's going to be.
No, that's my objection. You can't argue it. You get to ask him what he did, and then he gets to argue to them.
I think we've been through this once before, please.
You claim that you amended it, correct?
I updated and amended it to try to put a more precise location on it.
And your understanding of what you were amending was an existing PoundNet license location?
Application.
But it was what you considered at that time a vacant license that existed?
Yes.
Do you have authority to amend a vacant license?
I did at that time through my command institute.
Do you know of any regulations or any other thing that you've been...
I'm going to object. This is outside the scope of my questioning, and we've already gone into this at length. Went on his direct.
I'll withdraw it. So your only understanding of your authority is through your command?
Yes.
No further questions.
Thank you.
All done.
Members of the commission need a break before we have closing argument. Are you ready for them?
I'd like to have
5 minute recess for closing argument. Convene the formal hearing. Just for the record, as far as the rules are concerned, this is more of a civil matter than it is at all a criminal matter, so you'll get each one opportunity as far as closing is concerned, and 15 minutes max. Proceed, Mr. Jenkins.
The final stretch. Appreciate everyone staying so late with us, and we appreciate the opportunity on behalf of Mr. Hionis and his employees, the opportunity to be heard on this matter. There's really, like we talked about in the opening, there are two issues to really come to the forefront involving this. First is the question of the administrative or technical error that occurred on May 1st when Mr. Hionis went into Long Bay Point Bait and Tackle and asked to renew his licenses. He went in with the intent to renew 6 licenses and expected to come out of there with 4 plaques so that he could fish the 4 nets that he had, with the understanding that you always are forfeiting 2 of the licenses that you hold because that's the only way under the law, you're allowed to fish them. You can't fish all four nets with this weak fish. I'm not up on the technical terms, but the weak fish period, you can't fish everything if you don't give up two of your nets. He spent a considerable amount of money purchasing the licenses in the first place. And pretty much seems to be that everybody understands that these are something that it's almost like a property right that transfers over time, and it's passed down. I think it, I believe the statute even allows you to pass it to your heirs. These are things that people pay value for, and actually on the commission's website, there's a whole list of licenses that are up for sale. It's almost like a secondary market of license sales. Had Mr. Dimitri intended not to renew two of his licenses, it's just absurd to think that the two that he would have chosen would have been, especially number six, the one that he's been fishing this whole time, the one that he spent considerable amount of funds to fix, because when he took over it, as everybody talked about, there were some old poles there, and it, he had to move it over and reinstall the whole thing. You have to bring out a crane. You have to sink these pylons. You have to spend a lot of money to do it. And it costs a significant amount of money to take it out because it comes out the same way it goes in. And just like he testified, how difficult it is even just to get the old rickety poles out of there. You have to bring out a barge to get it out. Why would he forfeit that license and be in a position where he's going to have to spend a significant amount of funds to pull those poles out? Just from a common sense perspective, it doesn't make sense that that would be his intent. And that's why I think it's reasonable to say that there was some sort of administrative or technical error. Mr. Ray, who was the person that conducted the transaction, who is, for all intents and purposes, an agent of the state in that regard, under this new system where these bait and tackle shops can become certified to sell these licenses. This was something that I suppose the commission created, as the commissioner had explained. The purpose of that was to take the money handling away from the officers. And I think that that's a good reason to do something like that. The problem is when you have a system that's been in place for many, many years and you transition it from paper to computer and then to computer to individuals who have never done it before, out in the community that are now selling it, there's a strong likelihood to be some confusion and some mistakes made. And this commission has the authority to fix those kinds of mistakes. And that's what we're asking you to do. When Mr. Hionis went in there, he walked out with four license plates or plaques or however you want to call them. These are the items that you have to post on your nets to show the police force when they go by that this is a valid net. There's never been any question in the 30-plus years that these four nets out there were on license. Now there's all this wrangling and technicalities about, well, this many feet from here and this many feet from there and the specifications. And there was also discussion of going through these applications in 2005 when Mr. Hionis had those licenses transferred to him from Mr. Etheridge. This system was set up with the acknowledgement that these things would be transferred between individuals, and it's even available on the application as a section. When that transfer occurred, Mr. Hionis was taking the existing licenses at that point. He didn't go out and write new descriptions or get new descriptions. Those were the same descriptions that existed on those licenses since their inception. Those were retranscribed and adopted by Mr. Hionis. I don't know if anybody's clear as to which ones went to which net at the time, and I don't think it matters. I think all that's mattered over the last 30-plus years is that there were six licenses to that region because, there's essentially been a blockade on new licenses. There's a process, and it's difficult to even get them. And so everybody had the understanding, all the police knew, there were six licenses available out there. And there were two that were always being forfeited, and the end result were there were only four nets out there, and there were four nets being fished. There was no confusion as to which one went to which because it didn't matter. It's almost like having little chips when you're a kid and you get chips for your milk at lunch. It doesn't matter which chip you use because they're all good for a milk. Same thing with these plates that they get.
It doesn't matter which plate you're selecting. I mean, the fishermen don't think so, and I don't think the police officers do either. Officer Clifton testified that all he cared was they had four plates, and you came in and you did a little exchange with the plates, and you walked out and you put four plates out on your four nets. Essentially, the plate was good for a net, and that's how it was treated, that's how it's been policed over the years, and that's how the fishermen rely upon it. If we look at the connection between these tag numbers and the 2005 application that set up these licenses for Mr. Quiñones, those tag numbers aren't identified on those license applications. And when we looked at those, the actually handwritten licenses that were provided to the fishermen that that Officer Clifton talked about, it just has a list of tag numbers, random tag numbers that changes from year to year, and there's no identification on there as to how those tag numbers relate. Now, there's a third document that apparently is kept by the police force where those numbers are floating around in there. But that's not a document that the fishermen have. Apparently they bring it at the day when they do the transaction, but there's no clear connection between all these things. And even that document doesn't track year to year. It's just all very confusing, and I think it's maybe something that might need to be addressed in the future as far as clarifying the system, but ultimately there's plenty of opportunities for mistake in that. And that's why we ask you to reinstate the six licenses that Mr. Quiñones applied for, thought he had purchased, and was relying upon that when he walked out of there with four plates. Now, the second issue we get to is what happens if the commission decides that we're not going to give him more than the four licenses that are technically checked off in the computer. Well, now we have to figure out what those four licenses actually mean. Now, Officer Bennis is quite certain or has decided that this one of these licenses that wasn't renewed technically in the system is the one that goes to pound that, what I'm going to call four, the most eastward. He's certain of that, but there's no certainty in any of this. He went out there on the boat and made sure that he was setting a location. He set a new location that is not even a location that existed on the previous license. He set a new location, making sure he set it right next to this net. And I really think that he was making a conscious decision to have this controversy between those two nets, and then he made a second decision to set the second net, which was completely arbitrary, 600 feet away, because he thought that was a compromise, that he would decide that the second net would be over in a location that would comply with the rules and would be completely separate of any license that had ever existed. That brings us to the issue of what happens with four licenses, the two vacant licenses, if we're going to treat those as, if there's no opportunity to correct those. Our position is that Mr. Quiñones went in there to get all six licenses. And if he only got four licenses, his intent was certainly to get the four that he was fishing. It's just indescribable to think that he would do anything else. A mistake was made, but he certainly had the intent to get the ones that he was fishing. He took those plaques they gave him, and he went out, and he had them posted on the nets he was fishing. So he obviously believed they went to those nets. If we get beyond that, and the commission determines that this net, I think my understanding from all the testimony is Officer Bennis still, one of the applications applied for by Mr. Sanford is questionable, and it's not really impinging on anything. So really the only thing at issue, or seems to be at issue, is net number four. He's saying that one of these vacated licenses applies to net number four. If we get to that point and the commission has to make a decision on it, then there's a second thing that has to be decided. Are these applications that Mr. Sanford has put forth valid? And the question is, which of the four documents are going to be treated as the application? Are we going to take the first two and consider those and decide whether or not those are valid applications? And I'm talking about the two that were submitted on July 7th. They were submitted on July 7th and had GPS coordinates, when mapped out, all in improper locations. If those are put in there, then essentially what has been done is those vacated licenses in the system have been moved to a new location. And that can't be done without a public hearing. It has to be opened up to a public hearing. It has to be posted for 30 days, and it has to be decided by the commission after that hearing. So there's a license that was issued. The question is that license even valid? Now, the second part of that is what's going on with the second set of applications that came in that were essentially at the direction of Officer Bennis. Officer Bennis went out and picked completely different locations, didn't even try to alter the descriptions that existed on those vacated licenses before. He completely rewrote them. It's not even the same language. And he even stood in here and said that he purposely made his own decision as to where what he's calling license number 5 should be placed. It's almost as if he made himself the arbiter of how this was going to all fall out. The problem with that is, if that's the approved license, it's the same situation. Those are certainly an absolute move of the previous vacated licenses if they were vacated. And so to adopt those and to allow that license to go forward is essentially moving those licenses without complying with the statutes that require an open hearing and for the commission to make that determination after hearing the public. The third issue regarding this, if the commission determines that it's going to adopt those licenses that were given without the public hearing and without allowing the posting of the public notice, then the final thing to decide is whether or not those licenses should be revoked, because what I'm asserting is they're not valid anyways because they weren't properly acquired. Under the statute, they can't be acquired without the public hearing. Now, if we're going to say that they were properly acquired, that's one step. The next step then is should they be revoked, and I would say yes. Based on the fact, call it what you want, call it modifying the application, whatever it is. They signed those second set of applications for Mr. Sanford. He and Officer Bennis signed those on July 21st. They dated them for July 7th at 1500, the same date that Officer Clifton signed and accepted the original application. They didn't note on that application when they rewrote it, completely rewrote the description, and backdated it. They didn't write on there that that was an amended application. They wrote on there that they left it as a new application. The significance of that is because when these vacated licenses are in the system, the statutes allow for the first to come, first serve. Had Mr. Sanford resubmitted an application that was proper the second time on July 21st, Mr. Hionis had already asked VMRC police officers to apply for those licenses. He would be first in line for them because the original application for Mr. Sanford was incorrect. Officer Bennis testified to that. So when Mr. Hionis asked on July 9th, let me buy those licenses, let me apply for those licenses, Officer Bennis told him he couldn't. There's no question about whether he submitted a paper application or not. Those applications are submitted to the officers. And if an officer tells you you can't submit it, what is a fisherman to believe? He was told that he's going to have to wait to see how it pans out. And then Officer Bennis, when he rewrote these applications, backdated it to July 7th, with full knowledge that Mr. Hionis had been trying to apply for it, had asserted a desire to apply for it. Whatever the outcome of that, essentially, the commission is going to have to decide whether it's going to adopt this, at a minimum, loose practice of application dating, amending applications, moving vacated licenses. But the real question I think needs to be posed is whether you could backdate these documents and have them adopted and accepted by the commission as valid. I think that's going to be a difficult question, and it's a difficult hurdle to overcome. That really lays online the integrity of the application process and the fact
the effect that that will have on the public trust. But I don't think we get to that point, because I think ultimately the administrative error can be corrected and Mr. Hionis' license can be reinstated based on this commission's inherent authority to oversee its regulations and to correct errors made in the administrative process. And in closing, I just want to thank the commission again for hearing us. Sorry to keep you here so late. And ultimately, we ask that Mr. Hionis's six applications that he applied for, that he paid $140,000 for the rights to, and that he spent $150,000 updating his facilities in response to in the pound nets, and that he's employing 8 to 12 people to work, we ask that they be reinstated. Alternatively, if the commission decides not to reinstate those, we certainly assert that the four that were technically paid for at the time of his intent to purchase all of them were for the four nets that he is fishing. And then in addition to that, we assert that any licenses that Mr. Dirk Sanford is holding forth at this point are invalid. And if they are, and if the commission determines that they are if he does truly have licenses, then that those licenses should be revoked because they were obtained due to fraud. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Swisberg?
No. Hey, please, the commission.
Thank you.
When I'm told that when a squid gets into trouble and it can run no longer, it squirts out this dark ink and clouds the water and makes it difficult for its prey to see, difficult to navigate, to find it, difficult to bite into it, difficult to really even understand it. Gentlemen, that is what is going on here. I am going to attempt to move out of that water and get out of the water entirely and crawl onto land and keep our eye on the ball here as to what is really going on here. It is not as complicated as it seems to be tonight. It's not even close. There are some times in life where your intentions are irrelevant. Sometimes in life we are adults and we have to live with what we do and what we don't do. Sometimes when you miss a boat, the boat is gone, and they're not turning it around so you can try and catch it again. It's not fair to everybody else on the boat. And sometimes it's just not possible. It's where we are. It's just not possible. Nobody really wants Mr. Hionis to lose a $140,000 investment. Nobody wants that. My client doesn't want that. He's already testified, yeah, I was fine with those other licenses that didn't impede on him at all. Mr. Hionis is arguing today, don't give him those, he's not entitled to those. What does he want? I suggest to you what he wants is for my client to not be allowed to fish there at all, anywhere. And I notice a theme. Theme is Mr. Hionis and what's good for him. If you've been paying attention to this proceeding, and I'm sure you have been, you will have noticed that Mr. Hionis tries to put the blame on everybody else. Tries to say that Officer Bennis is responsible, that Officer Bennis's daughters are involved in this. A couple of fishing licenses. To call them into question. At some point, the nerve of an individual to call into question somebody's family over something like this speaks to their intentions, speaks to what they did and didn't do, speaks to their credibility when they come before you and they testify. He's desperate. And he's shooting out his ink, and it's not making sense. I'm going to make it make sense. My client made application, as is clear, in July. Never really knew or cared about Mr. Hionis, didn't know Officer Bennis particularly well or anything like that. And here's where the ball comes in. I can retrieve the map. Sure.
Yes, sir.
I'm referring to Sanford Exhibit Number 1. This, gentlemen, is the issue. This is the issue today. Fourth story, license number 6. That's the issue. That's it. What's on the agenda today is whether or not he's going to get 2 licenses given back to him. That's it. It's not my client's other applications. That's not technically, or should it be on the agenda today? And to put it on there, to treat it as though it's on there, confuses the issue because this counsel says there becomes 2 issues. There's only 1. It makes there 2 issues because all of a sudden we're in this position where counsel's right. He has a good argument. This hasn't been published. There hasn't been an opportunity for a public hearing to create new licenses, and that isn't the way that you can get them made. We understand that. We're not here to argue about that. We concede that. In fact, we're asking the commission to go ahead and order those to be published, to put the notice out there and have the hearing. Don't even want to talk about it. He's right. He's absolutely right. They weren't created correctly. They were an attempt at compromise by officer, not the parties. And you see where we are today. So that's fine. Let's put that aside. Okay? The reason why this case is about this is because the first application tendered by my client mirrors the application Mr. Hyonis failed to renew. It mirrors it. The identification of this net, had he renewed it, is the 1,800 feet, fourth story intersection, license number 6. The only difference, the testimony is, between my client's application and the applications from 2005 and 6 and 7 is that my client had a GPS location on there. And that GPS location, gentlemen, it doesn't make sense. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. When there is ambiguity, you seek to find clarity. The language mirrors the application before. If somebody attempts to make something more specific and they fail in that attempt, then you discard it. And you make sense of that which can be made sense of. Just want to pull for your recollection the description of that net 6, if I can retrieve that. And I think that should be 3 Hyonis 3A, I think, and then our exhibit. This is 3A, and then that one right there. Gentlemen, I'm going to put them up here right before you, okay? Showing you what's been marked as Hyonis 7. No, I'm sorry, this is Sanford 7. This is license number 6 right here. 1,800 yards east of stand 5 online with State Park and Fort Story. Approximately 425 feet offshore, running in northern direction. This is dated 05. The top left, as Mr. Hyonis pointed out, is titled an 06 renewal. It is dated January 06 by the applicant, which I would suggest is the most relevant date. The point is, whatever the date, this is his prior application, and this right here at the bottom of the page, the description I gave you, is the description of where that license is. And all the officers have testified that they can identify precisely where that is. And that's all we're arguing about today. All my client wishes to argue about today, everything else he'd effectively concede, is that license. Because that's the one license that can be identified with precision. So you read that description, and then you turn to my client's first application, tendered in truth on July 7th. Same description, 1,800 yards east of Stand 5 online with State Park and Fort Story, approximately 425 feet offshore running in a northerly direction. What's different?
this is the only thing different. And it's wrong. So what? It doesn't matter. Anybody looking at this application can tell that this one and this one are the same place. It's the same application. These two individuals want to apply to fish in the exact same spot. And that's what matters. They're trying to fish the same spot. The description for this license makes sense. You know where it is. This license is right here. Now, what follows off of that was an attempt at compromise. The later December 7th application that was actually, or July 7th application, which was actually filled out towards the end of July, was an attempt at compromise. As the colonel said, I don't have a problem with somebody filing an amended application. It's first in time, first in line. After all, isn't that only fair? Your VMRC officer is saying, I made a mistake. I need you to re-sign. We're not going to make you lose your place in line. It's my mistake. You're not going to pay, but I need you to re-sign. But we're preserving your place in line. Makes total sense. And it's interesting, gentlemen, the counsel, or Mr. Hyonas, would ask the commission to use their ability, theoretically, to correct a clerical mistake in its request for relief, and then turn around and say, he's engaging in fraud because they tried to fix a clerical mistake? Again, some things take so much nerve that you can look into the actual case and say, this is unbelievable. To say that Mr. Stanford engaged in fraud, he doesn't know anything about anything. He calls up like a good citizen, a good fisherman, and says, I'm thinking about trying to get some licenses. Goes in there, finds out what's available, gets the licenses. Goes on down the road, turns out somebody makes a big stink, and then Officer Bennis, in an attempt to fix things, says, there's a little bit of a mess here. Let's try and clean it up. There's a clerical mess. That gets turned into fraud. That gets turned into questions about your daughter. It's simple. It's truly simple. He didn't reapply for his license. His intent is totally irrelevant. How much money he threw away when he failed to preserve his interest is irrelevant. $10,000 to my client may be just as much as $140 to him. It's irrelevant. We haven't even put evidence of my client's financials on because they're irrelevant. And so are his. The only thing relevant is what's relevant under the code. I want to take you through it. I have copies of all these, but I heard you guys all have your Virginia administrative codes in front of you.
We don't have them. We have the code of Virginia. Oh, we don't have
the let me get this. I hope I have enough. I think I have enough.
That's yours, Carl.
I do not.
While these are being passed out, excuse me, this, incidentally, is the ball on which we need to be putting our eye. This is where this issue gets determined. The law. It's that simple. So you look under the administrative code, and in summary, what it is it details how it is these licenses will pass. And what it attempts to do is state, and I'm going to go through it in detail, that it passes according to priority. It passes according to, A, if you have a license, you can keep it for 100 years as long as you comply with the deadlines for renewal. But if you fail, it's up for grabs. It's that simple. And then it goes to whoever it is that applies first, That's who it goes to, assuming they're qualified. If it is a joint application, if they're all received on July 7th, then there's a lottery. Code is very detailed. So, if we turn to first 4 VAC 20-20-40, and it talks about priority rights generally, and it says, except for as it's otherwise provided, chronological order of receipt of all applications shall be used to establish priority rights. Very clear. That's the general proposition here.
You turn to the next page. 420, 4VA20-20-15. Very first paragraph. Applications for renewal of license for existing fishing devices, such as license number 6 here, may be accepted by the officer beginning at 9 a.m. on December 1 of the current license year through noon, January 10. May, gentlemen, May. That's the first time there's even an attempt, arguably, by Mr. Hyonas to fish these nets. I mean, to get the licenses that he needs, to renew these licenses. May. 4 months later. For 4 months, he's breaking the law. For 4 months, he's fishing without a license. May. Mr. Sanford has nothing to do with that. Mr. Bennis has nothing to do with that. Now he wants to put it on Mr. Clifton, or Sergeant Clifton, saying, you didn't let me know about the chain. What? I don't think I sound that good. You want to... Is it okay? That's all right. Excuse me.
Just my earphone.
Oh. Okay.
Sorry for the interruption.
That's okay. That's all right. The law here that I'm reading makes it very clear. If you want to preserve your interest, you got to get your renewal application between December 1 and January 10. He doesn't get it in. He's out of luck. He doesn't get it in. He's out of luck. And then it says, just below that, any location not relicensed during this period of time shall, told you about it earlier in my opening, shall be considered vacant and available to any qualified applicant. After noon on January 10, in comes my client. Not even after noon on January 10, but in July. So you have May that he comes in there, which is way too late. At any time, theoretically, my client could have applied for all these licenses, could have gotten them all. And there would have been nothing he could do other than make a mess. That's it. And then he has till July to fix and clear up any confusion that may have arisen when he walked out of that bait and tackle store, and he doesn't do it. And he would assert, as I was saying before, that it's Sergeant Clifton at fault or that it's the VMRC at fault. Because they changed the system to an electronic system and they changed the VMRC officers from being able to issue these licenses out. They sent him a letter letting him know that happened. That's the evidence. They sent him a letter a year prior saying, we're changing it up. Sergeant Clifton's not coming to you anymore. You've got to go get your licenses. Not only does he get that letter, but then he gets Sergeant Clifton's warning. And then, gentlemen, I would assert you should believe the testimony of Mr. Ray. You should believe him when he says, which licenses? What interest does he have in these proceedings? None. Why is he going to come in here and lie? He's not. He's telling the truth. He said, which licenses do you want? He said, doesn't really matter. Man, was he wrong. It matters. It matters a lot. It matters to him. It matters to him. It matters to all of us. It does matter which licenses. After that discussion, he doesn't seek counsel. He doesn't even call Clifton. I mean, there's no testimony that he even calls Sergeant Clifton and says, okay, here's what I got. Am I straight? No. And then he's asking you guys to rely on the notion that he gets 4 licenses and 4 plates every year. Let me tell you the problem with that theory. The problem with that theory is that he's also testifying it's his wife that handles everything. So it really doesn't get you anywhere. It doesn't matter to you if you're getting 4 licenses if you never knew how it worked anyway. So that really shouldn't go anywhere. Because according to him, he almost never handled the plates. It was his wife. You turn back to the code. Priority rights, 20-20-60 under 4. Applications for current fixed fishing devices, locations by other persons shall not be accepted. Oh, I'm sorry, strike that. Well, that was a different one. This is the important one. 4 VAC 20-20-70. Application from any qualified applicant for any fixed fishing device at a vacant, unlicensed location may be accepted by the officer at any time during which the year for which the license is intended. And only for the year during which the license is intended, except that any application received prior to noon on January 10th for any location believed to be vacant or unlicensed shall be considered as received at noon and in chronological order. Sorry. The import, I guess, the point of these codes, and it's really laid out in the beginning, is if you don't protect your interests, you lose them. The code says shall, it doesn't say may. The licenses shall be vacant if you don't preserve your interests. That's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is where we are. Counsel is asking that you give him relief basically by finding my client engaged in fraud. And I suppose there may be an argument for that, except where there are no facts to support it. None. There's no facts to support it. He would have had to make a deliberate misrepresentation and to attempt to capitalize on that. There, to this day, has not been an application made for license number 6. And there certainly wasn't made in July. I think it's fair, and what we're asking is that this commission deny his request to give him the licenses that he didn't apply for. I don't think, with all respect, that there's any choice. There simply isn't any choice. He didn't make the application in time. He missed the boat. My client wished him no ill will, but he too took action based on his inaction. He went out and got $10,000 worth of equipment to sink him where he got his licenses. And back we come to the nerve. Old poles out there. Code's very clear. You've got to remove your poles. Fishing without licenses. Code's very clear. It's a criminal offense. The nerve to keep making money, keep catching fish on license number 6. The nerve. That sounds an awful lot like wrong to me. And you're accusing my client of fraud? Gentlemen, the only thing to do here is to deny the request. Further, we're asking that this commission schedule or do the appropriate notification so these other licenses can be licensed. And finally, because my client is first in time, it is our position that the license on number 6 should be ruled his, and that Mr. Hyonis should be ordered to cease forthwith fishing these places, be given a reasonable amount of time to either pull his poles or make other arrangements. If he wants to sell them, that's fine. But that's what has to be done here. It's time for this commission to stop Mr. Hyonis from capitalizing on this and making a mess. It's not messy. It just isn't fun. It's not fun to tell somebody, you missed the boat and there's nothing I can do for you. The boat's gone. But that's where we are. We'd ask the commission to go ahead and grant the relief requested. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Compliment each side for a job well done in representing your client and presenting testimony in this case. The matter is before the commission for discussion and action.
Commissioner?
Mr. Schick.
I don't sell commercial licenses. I do buy commercial licenses, not pound net, but at my marina and tackle shop, we sell recreational licenses. We sell all kinds of products. I get customers coming in all the time asking me what they need. And I tell them, I don't know. You've got to tell me what you want, and then I can sell you what you need. You know, I had one person that came in and wanted to buy a freshwater fishing license and then got in trouble because they were fishing for trout. Didn't have a trout license. So I bought my license at Colonial Beach Yacht Center. Here it is. Well, no, you want a freshwater license. You need a trout license, too. Well, they didn't tell me. Well, I didn't know he wanted to go trout fishing.
it's not the agent of VMRC's responsibility to know what a customer wants. It's their responsibility to sell them what they ask for. And it's a horrible situation. There's no doubt about it. I feel bad. I mean, you know, I wish I could turn back the clock and do something different. But I just feel that the opportunities were there several times, for Mr. Hyannis to purchase the license within the time frame. And then when he got the notice that he needed to, then he bought them. He didn't look at the receipt. The receipt came home. His wife, who usually handles it, didn't catch the mistake either. And here we are, July 7th, and he loses his opportunity. And I'm not ready to make a motion by any stretch of the imagination, but I just don't see any fraud in this. I don't see any intentional mistake on anybody's part here. I just see circumstances that occurred that are very unfortunate. And there are some confusions that out of this we probably need to work on. There's no doubt about it. But the issue of which license goes to which stands didn't become a problem until the six licenses weren't purchased. And that is not the fault of anybody but Mr. Hyannis. But I'm open to listen to everybody else.
Mr. Lane, then Mr. Tankard, then Mr. Robbins. Mr. Lane?
I agree it's a very simple matter of Mr. Hyannis by his failure to purchase his license in the appropriate time, gave up his rights, forfeited his rights, if you will, to that particular location in question. I don't think it's any question he did that. Mr. Sanford saw an opportunity. He seized that opportunity, and he licensed that spot. It's a very simple matter. Duck blinds work the same way. Duck blinds, if you don't license last year's duck blind, and by August 31st, and someone else can come in and license that, you lose it. And I think it's very simple, and that's what's happened to Mr. Hyannis. It's regrettable for him, but he didn't do what necessary to protect his interests. So.
Mr. Tankard?
Well, I think there's a couple relevant points, and one of the things I want to mention on the heels of Mr. Schick's statement was that, in fact, Mr. Jones did try to remedy the situation with Mr. Bemis in July. he asked, well, can I apply again for what it is that I am currently missing? And our statute for VAC 20-2070 says that all qualified applicants must be accepted by the officer any time during the year. Our officer didn't accept that demand on the part of Mr. Jonas. I would further say that it's about a transaction. And the transaction changed in the way it went on in the time that Mr. Jonas has had these pound nets. We changed that transaction the way it went about. And it was clear to me from Mr. Clifton's testimony, our officer, that, as he said, if my memory serves, he stated that he was only concerned that Mr. Jonas had four tags for four nets. And Mr. Clifton was the officer that issued these things not only to Jonas, but to the man who had them before. And Mr. Jonas was only concerned, was the same concern as the MPO, that he had four tags. So when he walks out of Long Bay Marina with four tags, it's the same thing that's happened for the last 30 years. It's essentially the same transaction. Yes, it's in some ways different, but it's the same transaction that's happened for 30 years. He's got four tags in his hand, and we've all found out those four tags, they don't know, and Clifton said this, but they don't really know which tag goes with which net. I think we've got that that's one thing we can be very clear about in this whole thing. So, again, it was about the rights of the nets, is what Mr. Jonas testified. He believed he was buying four rights, four rights that he could put any tag on any net anytime, as long as he was fishing them, he had to have them there. And so I think the transaction occurred just as everyone intended, but yet the administrative part of it allowed Mr. Sanford to believe, and rightly so, that he had a chance to purchase a net that was vacant. But it wasn't vacant, it was being fished, and Mr. Yonis had invested money. So that's I see it's the intention of both the seller and the purchaser were the same. And I don't think it. We have the liberty to change those two intentions. They're congruent.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's clear that when, based on the record, that when Mr. Hyonis went into Long Bay Point in May of 2008, he intended to purchase the same licenses for the same nets that he had previously purchased and had been fishing. As a result, I think it's clearly the result of the error that we have in the current situation. That error, though, has a history that predates this one transaction that occurred in May of 2008. Based on the testimony, the error goes back, in fact, to 2006, when the wrong two licenses were forfeited. That is, license 5 and 6 were forfeited in 2006. That error was perpetuated again in 2007, and then again perpetuated in 2008, perhaps because the licensing clerk didn't understand the forfeiture issue, and because the applicant, frankly, didn't understand the forfeiture issue. So it's clear that error goes back in time. It wasn't simply a single transaction. However, in 2008, that error was exploited when Mr. Sanford realized that there were two licenses available and made application. I think, while on the one hand it's an error, a mistake, the primary question as a matter of law is one of responsibility. You know, is that the applicant's responsibility? Or does the commission share in that responsibility through its licensing agent, et cetera? And I'm inclined to think that based on the testimony we've heard, we've seen a wide range of problems revealed in the system. Obviously, the license descriptions are vague. That's raised a number of problems. The problems that have been revealed with the relatively loose nature of assignments between the hard license, that is the plate and the physical location, all of these create problems, and it's easy to see how this ultimately happened. But ultimately, I think as a matter of law, the applicant does have responsibility. This site was not vacant; it was being fished, and yet it's technically vacant under the code or under the VAC 20-20-70, or where it's described rather in 4 VAC 20-20-50, it says any location not relicensed during the above time period shall be considered vacant. Obviously, Mr. Hyonis was fishing the site, but it was technically, I think, as a matter of law, considered to be vacant. So that's how the opportunity came about for Mr. Sanford. I think the situation is obviously very regrettable because, again, I think it stems from error. That error has a long history associated with it, but it's primarily a question of responsibility. And I would just ask two questions of our counsel, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Absolutely.
And that is, you've heard the arguments that were made about the validity of Mr. Sanford's applications, and there are two questions there, and one is, would either the substantially incorrect latitude and longitude details associated with the first license application or the incorrect dating, if you consider it to be that, on the second application invalidate either of those applications?
I have an answer. I'm hesitant to respond because I think it is still something within your discretion to decide, because it's not an area of law that I find to be particularly clear. The first question related to the
Latitude and longitude.
Latitude and longitude. Well, there I think it's a little clearer. You can actually look at the written description of the location, and you can plot the latitude and the longitude, and you can see that there's a there's a disparity between those two, and it's obvious that there's an error, it seems to me. And you go back and you look at the language, and it's been the same language all along, and then the latitude and the longitude has been added sort of at the last minute later in the process, so you see that the language is proper. So what do you do? You have a conflict on a written document, you need to correct it. I think that's not a problem. The second question?
Second question was whether the essentially the backdating of that second document would invalidate it in any way.
That's the area that I think as a matter of law, ministerial errors can be corrected. They can be corrected by people with the authority to do things in that field, and that's where it's a little unclear to me. I don't view the evidence, and this is my personal view, I don't view the evidence as being any clear and convincing indication of fraud. I would suspect that an error that is corrected fraudulently would not be a legally corrected error.
Thank you.
Mr. Bowden?
I think there's probably been a lot of mistakes, and a lot of them have been by the MRC on this. Number one, if January the 10th, he had to give up his priority rates by not applying, why was he called in May and told to apply? So that was clearly a mistake on VMRC's part. The officer went outside of his jurisdiction and told the man to apply. So that clearly was a mistake. If I was giving, I'll rephrase it. I've had the same problem one time before. I applied for a piece of oyster grind, and the inspector told me it could not be taken up. So there was no need in me applying because it could not be taken up. And 2 years later, someone else ended up with that grind because the inspector was plain wrong. It wasn't intentional. It just was wrong. I mean, in a case like this, when he wanted to apply, he was told he wouldn't accept his application. So I think there's been too much made on one side about that fact that he did not put in an application because he was told he couldn't. If you're told you can't do something, you just feel like you can't, because this is the person that's in authority. You believe him to be accurate. Whether he is or not, you still believe that. So I also believe if you give me a physical description to go somewhere, but you also give me the latitude and longitude, I'm going to refer to that because that's going to be the most accurate. So if I give you the wrong lat and long on something, it's up to me to correct it. It's not up for the Marine Patrol officer to go ahead and correct it. If I make a mistake on my application, I certainly say he should contact me and tell me my application is not valid. I don't think it should be his responsibility to correct it. I don't think it's his right to correct it, not alone responsibility. I don't think he did. So I think it was a lot of mistakes made, and I think it were made on everyone's part. I think the application should have been made by January the 10th, but that was negated when he was called and told in May that he could apply for the license. The person in authority may not even have the authority to do that, but it was done. And he testified that he did. So there's no question about that it was done. So, you know, in a case like this, I would revert back to the initial person. There was mistakes made. Yes, they were. I have a different take on why the things were changed than Commissioner Bowman does, and he realizes that also because I've had the discussion with him about it. So you're taking people who, not in his point, but you have people who's had patent license for generations, not just several years, but for generations, who's always had the officers come and collect their money, I would say it's a very good chance that the majority of fish ponds probably lay outside of the physical description, because over time physical characteristics of land change. So you can have something that would be 500 yards off a given point. That point is not even no longer there, let alone 500 yards away. So I feel in a case like this that he went in there with the intent of purchasing his license. The person that sold them to him, maybe it's not his responsibility to know everything, but I can't see a screen 10 foot away, and I have 20/15 vision as far as reading, writing. And if somebody's back is in between me and the screen, it's going to take Superman. So, you know, what do you do in a case like that? He's always left with four tags since he's had them. He left with four tags. The price of license has changed in the recent years. I can't really tell you what gillnet license. They were $15 forever. Now I think they're like $27, $28. I can't tell you. When they tell me what I owe them, I write them a check. I give it to them. I take it home. I file it. I put it in my book for my income tax, knowing that I bought those licenses. Yes, it's my responsibility. But the majority of people, with the recent change, wouldn't know. So, you know, I feel sorry for both sides. But definitely there was not an intent to give up the license. And if he was giving up license, he would not give it up on the nets that were active to start with. I mean, common sense would tell you that he just rebuilt some of these nets. Why would he give them up and go through the added expense of removing them? So I just think it was an administrative error. And that's the way I'm going to look at this.
Dr. McConaughey, then Mr.
Yeah.
Oxford.
Unfortunately, the descriptions for where these nets are woefully wrong. I mean, some of them are off a fourth story. I have a hypothesis as to how that description was there, but it appears that over the years, from enforcement, from the MPOs, it was where the net was on the ground, as opposed to what the description said. And I think when he went in to renew his licenses, he assumed that it was the position on the ground, not the description of the location, because a number of them are totally wrong. You couldn't find them. I think at one point we even had one that was on a bike path or something was mentioned about that in the earlier. But, you know, I think he had every intention. I think he did feel that he did renew those four sites. Unfortunately, one of the ones that was not renewed was one that's described as number six. But even that wasn't a very accurate. So I think he actually had every intention to renew the four sites that he was fishing. And it does appear to be more of a clerical error than an error on his part.
Mr. Fox, chip in.
When he walked out of the store after buying his licenses, he had four plates in his hand. And there, I'm confused, and I think there's also a source of confusion in the fact that the gray trout regs require you to give up two locations, two stands. And if he had intended to purchase four, it's my understanding from Jack that he would have only gotten two, because he would have had to give up two. And so if he'd only been given two plates, he would have noticed something, it seems to me. So I guess I feel that he understood that he had received the four that he had always gotten. And as far as the locations on the ground versus the locations written down, I agree with John that they are woefully mixed up and need to be corrected. And he really didn't, he wasn't focused on which ones he actually was buying and which ones he was actually fishing and which ones he was actually forfeiting. And so that had not bothered, that had not concerned anyone before, and so he wasn't concerned this time. There's no question that Mr. Hyonis made a serious error by not showing up on or before January 10, and he in fact did fish after January 10 without a license, and I don't think that's the subject of our hearing today, but that is something perhaps the MRC should look into. In terms of accusations of fraud, I don't think Mr. Sanford committed fraud, and I think that's a specious argument. I'm willing to listen to more discussion.
Mr. Holland?
I'm the same way as the last two of my commission members have stated. There were only four active nets there, and Mr. Hyonis was fishing those four active nets, and he went in and asked for to get the license to do what he's been doing in the past. And I think there's a misunderstanding, but he left with four plates, and he thought, when there was any question, that he thought he had purchased the right to continue to fish the four nets that he had been fishing all along. So that's just my feeling. I think his intent was to go get what he had been getting, and he left thinking that he had done that.
Well, for the record, since it's a formal hearing, I will tell you that I've made the decision. I vote on most matters, all matters, but in a formal hearing, I will not vote unless it's a tie vote. But I will make a couple comments. First and foremost, and all due respect to my colleague, Mr. Bowden, I think the officer, by virtue of contacting Mr. Hyonis, didn't acknowledge it was a mistake made. He basically was trying to help Mr. Hyonis out by saying, hey, all of your licenses haven't been bought. You got a problem when they could be out stroking him a ticket. So I take exception that the officer was wrong in trying to help Mr. Hyonis out. Certainly, from Dr. McConaughey's perspective, as far as the descriptions of the locations are concerned, they are confusing. And changes are in the works now to ensure that every pound that's out there will have an accurate latitude and longitude on it. People are human, they make mistakes, and sometimes, as counsel indicated, they don't go the right way. Did Mr. Hyonis intend for it to happen this way? Absolutely not. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever why a man would go in to a licensing agent with a check and purchase the wrong licenses. But at the same time, sometimes it happens. So with that, the matter is before the commission for action.
I have one question.
Yes, sir.
Now, he could, if he wanted to, purchase four licenses and have the production based. He didn't have to give back licenses. He could fish a shorter period of time. Isn't it an either-or situation?
This is what I'd like to do. Mr. Travelstead, yeah. Mr. O'Reilly. Question, technical question, staff, raise your right hand. Solemn to swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Would you respond to?
If I understand the question, he could have fished not for a shorter time period, but he wouldn't have been able to keep gray trout. So that if he, on May 1, wanted to purchase just four licenses and forego the other two, which had typically been forfeited, he could have done so. The only limitation would be no gray trout because of the lack of forfeited gear.
So to follow up on that, I just can't see it. That it's anybody's responsibility to know what his intent was. I mean, I know he had equipment out there. I know he put a lot of money in there. But they don't know that at the computer screen. They don't know what is inside his mind and how much money he spent and that type of thing. And so to say that it was a clerical error on the part of the agent to be clairvoyant on what Mr. Hyannis wanted, I think would be a travesty and an error on itself. There's no doubt that this was a perfect storm of licensing. I mean, each individual thing on its own wouldn't have caused a problem, but they all happened together and caused this situation. But when I go to buy my licenses, I look at that screen and I say, this is what I want. And I buy them. I mean, because, to be honest with you, I'm confused on what I want to get every time I go get it. So I have to look at what I have, what I bought last time. I look at the screen because I know that when I go to somebody and they're selling me something, that they don't know what I want. I'm the one that has to know what I want. And that's the basis of all of it.
Further comment? Mr. Tankard.
With all due respect, I understand what Mr. Schick is saying, no doubt. But, in fact, Mr. Ennis did go to Long Bay and said exactly what he wanted, which was, I want what I had last year. And he, in fact, brought paperwork from last year. I don't know how much more clear one could be if you brought the licensing paperwork that you had from last year, but yet our agent didn't have it, one could say, together enough to understand that the paperwork from last year and how it would bear on this year. So I see what you're saying, but when you arrive and show paperwork of what you had last year and you expect to buy it again, well, how come how much more clear can it be?
I'm confused. I didn't think that he had paperwork. The only thing he had was his waterman's license. He didn't have paperwork from the previous.
I thought he testified that he said, I came in with and paper saying, this is what I want.
He just said he wanted what he had last year, verbally.
Okay, my mistake.
Further comment? The chair will entertain a motion. Mr. Tankard?
Again, I see it as more of a VMRC clerical error than any. I don't think there's any real merit in the argument that the licenses that Sanford got were obtained by fraud, but I do believe that there was an administrative error and that we should reinstate the licenses of Mr. Ennis. I think we have to remember the gravity of the situation. This is not, with all respect, a duck-blind license or fishing license. This is a license that a man, a family, and a business makes their livelihood from, and I think we have to take it with seriousness. And I move that we reinstate this license.
There's a second to the motion. Second by Mr. Bowden. Further discussion?
Mr.
Robbins.
Thank you. I'm sympathetic to the impacts of the consequences of the situation, certainly for Mr. Hyannis, and I would normally be inclined to defer to an operation that's been in place or that has a history of 30 or more years, but I think at the end of the day, I'm not able to support the motion, and I base my decision really on a matter of law. I think the site, per the regulations, was considered vacant in legal terms, and I think, based on the determination I've heard from our counsel, that the Sanford applications, while they may appear to be opportunistic, were certainly valid, and I don't think it would be appropriate to invalidate the Sanford application on site number 6 legally. And so I would, again, I'm very sympathetic to the impacts, but I'm not able to support the motion.
Has the question been called?
Call for the question.
Question's been called. Motion is, this date, September 23rd, 2008, item number 18, dealing with Mr. Hyonas and reinstatement of his licenses. Motion made by Mr. Tankard, seconded by Mr. Bowden. Mr. Bowden?
Yes.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Dr. McConaughey?
Aye.
Mr. Robbins?
No.
Mr. Schick?
No.
Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-3. The licenses are ordered to be reinstated to Mr. Hyonas based on his previous year. The code provides that in all contested matters, the finding of award or action of judgment of the commission shall be in writing. A copy is sent to the parties appearing before the hearing. That will be done within the next 3 days out of this office. 28.2.219 of the Code of Virginia Judicial Review in Contested Cases. Any person aggrieved by final decision in a contested case is entitled to judicial review in accordance with the Administrative Process Act 2.2-4000. Meeting adjourned.